The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. You understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
9 seconds to go. The right knee is down for Ryan Allen. He'll extend the right hand. Gostowski waits. This will be a 35-yard kick straight on. The snap by Aiken. The spot by Allen. The kick by Gostowski. Sailing through the uprights. It is good! And the Patriots take the lead with 5 seconds to go.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. That's Bob Soucy, voice of 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Patriots official station. A good call on the game-winning kick, and the Patriots escape Buffalo with a season-opening win, 23-21. Didn't look pretty, but they got it done. Andy's here. We're waiting for Paulie's hobnobbing with Kyle Arrington in the locker room for our TV show, but he'll be here momentarily, and we'll get this thing going. I feel like, you know, just like the Patriots have a condensed week, you know, to get ready for the Jets, we have a condensed week to talk about everything we need to talk about. And there is so much to talk about here in PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock.
Why'd you say it funny?
Because I'm losing my breath.
You know you're out of shape when you lose your breath speaking.
508-298-0398 is the East Ticket Hotline. 1-855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, and I won't give out all the Twitter handles like Mark does, but we have them.
Well, that's more for the PPGS. Yeah,
you
that's
can follow us if
PPGS
you want.
Driven.
All right, so Andy, 23-21.
Not pretty.
Not pretty.
All's well that ends well?
Nope.
I can't buy that one either.
We'll talk about that, injuries, in a little bit, but... You know, are you that surprised that the offense struggled a little bit, really?
No. I mean, I didn't think it would necessarily come against the Bills because they were without their top corner, without their top safety. Their front has not been good, even though it has the names of Williams. He was not a factor, really. Even when they got pressure, it was mostly they had that blitz where they sent Searcy through the B and Vollmer just kind of rolled out and runaway rusher. So you expect some of those things early in the year, but... Just, I can't get past how bad Kenbrell Tompkins looked. Like, just visually. And you were big on the Brandon Lloyd bandwagon.
Yeah.
It looked that way. He was flailing in this direction and flailing in that and drifting out of bounds and, like, not aware of where he was on the field, not aware of where Brady wanted him on the field. And to me, that was, we knew the offense was going to be limited in its weapons for some period here. But I thought you'd get something out of sort of the extras. You know, I figured Amendola would be your top guy, and he was. And we'll obviously get to the injury in a minute, but he looked fine. And you know how much I like Vereen, so that was nice to step up. But the Tompkins just,
well, the
nothing.
Tompkins thing, what killed me is the 14 targets.
Right.
You know, he didn't, you know, he had no tight ends to go to, basically. So, you know, after Amendola and Edelman, he had to go to Tompkins. Tompkins had as many targets as Amendola did, 14.
Yes.
They both had 14 targets. The problem is Amendola caught 10 of them. And Tompkins only caught four of them. Now, granted, a lot of Tompkins were a little bit further down the field along the sideline, but like you said, you know, he just looked out of place.
He looked like an undrafted rookie receiver, but we had in our mind a pretty consistent, solid preseason. He was the most consistent of the three rookie receivers by far in terms of route running, catching the ball, looking okay, looking like he sort of belonged. He did not look like he belonged in this offense or on an NFL field on Sunday, and that's troublesome, especially since I already assumed Boyce is going to be sort of maybe the most limited of the three as a rookie, the speed guy that's probably going to have some big plays, but consistently probably won't be out there.
He probably averaged two catches a game at most.
Right, but one of them might be a 45-yard catch or something.
Right.
Or an end around for 35 yards, whatever.
Right.
And then Dobson was out with a hamstring injury. He's on the injury report. I don't know if that kept him from the game or how that exactly worked, but he has a hamstring issue. He wasn't active. So we were back to sort of, it was sort of the Amendola Edelman show, and to me, that's not good enough. Even if they're healthy, I don't think personally that's good enough long term to be that. And, you know, now Vereen is hurt. You're saying, okay, maybe Vereen is the superstar I think all of us on this show think he could be. I mean, that's the kind of performance, 100 yards rushing, 50 something receiving,
that's,
plays, you know, but it's just, and Brady, you already saw some of the frustration, and he's going to have to deal with it because this is what he has. There's no turning it over. I'm just going to stick to my proven guys. He doesn't have any proven guys. Even now, Amendola, if he misses time, I mean,
So, and again, we'll talk about the injuries in a minute, but I want to, you know, start with the game, a little bit more of a dissection of what we saw.
We haven't talked about Ridley yet.
That's on the bad side of the ledger, no doubt. But let's talk about some of the good things. I thought the defense did okay. I think C.J. Spiller can hurt you. I don't care who you are, Patriots defense or any other defense, and they limited him. And when he ran the ball, you know, a little over 2 yards a carry, I'll take that.
2 yards a touch. They even did the same basically when he caught the ball. So they clearly, C.J. Spiller was what, you know, Bill always talks about, you start taking away. They were taking away C.J. Spiller, and you're right. Just because you decide you're going to take him away doesn't mean you're going to. He can make a guy miss and go 60 yards at any point. They were phenomenal against C.J. Spiller, no question about it.
You know, so you know, they gave up 14 points, seven of them, you know, 14 points, seven of them were, you know, on a short field after the interception. So I think the defense came out okay. Stupid penalty by Mayo late in the game really could have cost them.
Yep.
You know, was it ticky-tack? Yeah, but in today's NFL, you just can't do that.
Yeah, I'm not even sure it was. I mean, he didn't kill him, so it was a little ticky-tacky.
Right.
But to me, when I always say, you know, unnecessary, that was unnecessary. He didn't have to do it. That was the epitome of unnecessary.
Right.
Don't do it.
Right.
You know better.
Yep. I thought Kelly and Will Fork did well in the middle. They weren't always in the game at the same time.
Nope.
You know, they were
a lot of run for Villano.
Yeah, a lot of.
I kept thinking Matt Light was on the field.
Yeah, they moved guys around, as you know, Bill likes to do, especially early in the season with the big guys. Kind of, you know, it's tough to.
But
be
they haven't
out there.
Played.
I mean,
you haven't played 60 minutes of football, and to expect a 350-pound guy in his 9th, 10th NFL season to just roll out there and play all those plays is unrealistic.
You know,
and I thought Villano held his own. I didn't see him getting killed.
No. Secondary was okay. Harrington, obviously, was a ball hawk, you know, forcing turnovers.
Harrington.
What did I say?
Harrington.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, you heard Harrington.
You just said Harrington.
I might have been.
Send the emails in.
I
he said Harrington.
Listen to me. I might have been breathy, but I did not
you said
say Harrington.
Harrington.
Okay, maybe. All right, but it was, you know. Anyway,
I think I'm less high on the secondary
you know,
than you were.
He did okay. I think they held their own. Gregory had a couple plays. You know, they weren't perfect, but, you know, I'll take what they
Tlaib,
what I
Gregory,
saw.
Communication, something
yeah,
went
Tlaib,
wrong there.
There was something wrong there. I blamed it on Tlaib. I'm not sure whose fault it was. But
yeah, he seemed to be looking for help that wasn't really coming on that touchdown.
Well, I don't know if I think he just let the guy go.
Well, you can't just let him go.
No,
if no one
but
else.
I didn't think – I think that he thought the play was had already developed and was already looking inside and let the guy go.
Something ugly happened there. But to me, that's one of those plays that can happen early in the year. It can't happen in November.
Now, people did criticize the pass rush.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to the fact, and I had a little confirmation, that the game plan was not to move Manuel off his spot. It was to keep him in there. It was a controlled rush. So it was almost by design that they didn't sack him. Yeah, you'd like to penetrate and get through, but it wasn't – the idea wasn't to blitz this guy or get him off his spot. It was to – keep him on the spot.
Well, their idea is never to blitz or rarely to blitz.
Well,
and I just don't buy that. You can have a controlled rush that still gives him trouble.
I know, but
I don't think he ever felt any pressure at all.
I'm
a controlled
you.
Rush just means you don't allow him to escape, contain, or give him big lanes.
Right.
It doesn't mean you can't pressure him.
Well,
people think that a controlled rush means, okay, we're just going to stand here and make sure he doesn't run. No, that's not a controlled rush. There's no rush to that.
I'm telling you, they weren't they weren't considerably worried about the fact that they didn't have any sacks, okay?
Well, I'm not talking about sacks. Sacks are a different beast. We've been had that drilled into us by Bill Belichick.
Right.
I'm talking about make him a little uncomfortable. I don't think he was uncomfortable very often.
You know, now, if you're a Bills fan, I like what I saw out of my young quarterback. I think he had poise. I think he delivered. I think no interceptions, two touchdowns, like 112 quarterback rating.
Very conservative.
But you know what? I'm happy with that.
If I'm a
Bills fan, I'm happy with
that. The only way you'd be – I mean, you should have won. I mean, you had that game there to take, and that's a big boost for a new quarterback, new coach early in the year. And Marone said that.
Right.
I mean, basically, he said it was a crusher post-game, letting everybody down. But – I think there's something to like about Manuel. He has the physical tools. He had a couple of those runs where he, and he's not a runner. He can run. He's athletic.
Right.
But I think he had like a 22 yarder or something like that. He can do that. And, I think there's reason to be hopeful there with what now he has to build, obviously, week to week.
Yep. And I do like the Stevie Johnson. The only person that stopped him was Stevie Johnson when he dropped that critical third down pass that could have extended that drive.
Kyle Arrington certainly didn't stop him on that touchdown.
You know, so
or Harrington, sorry.
Am I on TV? Oh.
That guy's about 30 years younger than you.
He looks like me, though.
He does look like you with a fresh do.
Anyway, he's got all the product in his hair. We're watching CSN. All right. So I thought the defense did okay. On offense, you know, Brady – manage the game.
Can I ask one question about defense that I kind of missed, I guess, not being there? Brandon Spikes leaving early for dehydration.
Right.
What do you make of that?
Could have been sick. Who knows? You know.
You're sometimes a skeptic.
Sometimes when you have
lines.
Diarrhea, it gets rid of all the fluids, and if you don't replenish right away, then...
So you have no concern with that?
He came back in.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Are you concerned?
I'm skeptical on those things.
So you don't think it was dehydration?
Does he have a passport?
Does he have a passport?
Did he bring it with him?
Oh, you think he spent a little bit
too much? How do you get dehydrated? If Johnny Manziel left with dehydration, you know what they'd say?
Right.
Drunk.
He was out last night.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just asking.
Okay. Well,
just asking.
Whatever. Getting to the offense, I think Brady did what he had to do with what he had to work with. I think he was okay. A lot of people thought he was a little jittery. I thought, on the other hand, he avoided some pressure really well with his, you know, his mobility in the pocket.
He took some hits, too.
He took some hits, but I saw him shrug off a couple, step up, avoid hits, deliver.
By the way, quick note that I have seen no one note. He's dealing with something with the left wrist.
You think so?
If you remember, in Detroit, he got hit, and he was flexing it.
Yep.
He not only had the play band on, he appeared to have something below the play band, a little extra tape, and he also wore a left glove. Mm. Remember, it looked like he was bleeding a little bit on that hand? So there's a little, I'm not saying major, I'm just saying it looked like there was a little something going on with that left wrist.
As far as Ridley, I mean.
Can't happen.
And he was playing well up to that point. You know, that's the shame of it. You know, this isn't like Maroney where, you know, he dances and then he plays well and he dances. The physical part of his game, other than it's good. It's all good.
The other is
right,
the big part.
He's got to hold on to the ball, and then you know he drops his elbow hits the ground. Nobody touches him, and he's on two knees, you know, with his hands up. Like, what's going on? Right. You know what's going on. You drop the ball again.
I actually gave him the benefit of the doubt when I started live and said, "Oh, he tore his ACL and excruciating pain. He dropped the ball, but." He didn't. He was fine.
And then he gets banished to the sideline, which gives Vereen the chance to come in and do absolutely what we were hoping he could do, and then he gets hurt. So that's unfortunate. The rumor is that he played most of the game with the broken
wrist. The report
wrist.
Said that it may have been his first play, and then afterwards the way the broken bone was sitting on a nerve caused numbness, and they apparently reportedly had surgery yesterday in a few weeks, quote-unquote, is what he's going to miss.
Right, and he tweeted out this morning, I guess, thumbs up, you know, I'll be back soon.
And everybody assumes that means, like, who knows, maybe he had a good breakfast.
Right, so that was unfortunate, but a great game. Danny Amendola, I mean, 10 catches, 101 yards, I think, or something.
Four,
like,
I believe.
104 yards. And some of them, in the most critical of times, with a guy on him, you know, just contorting himself in the air, just amazing.
With a bad groin.
Yeah, with a bad groin that, you know, went out, came back late after halftime. doesn't – I wouldn't look forward to him playing this Thursday.
No. Most of the reports already are that they very well could be without
both
those
guys. Which is another bad blow. But
the positive – I said this to you. One of the issues – you know, he has the issue of injury-prone, soft, glass, put him in bubble wrap. We've gotten the emails. He's clearly tough, but he's clearly prone to injuries.
Right.
And they're not mutually exclusive.
Exactly.
They can both happen. And never has a guy's image, in my opinion – had such an unlikely shift as he gets hurt, grabs the groin, goes off, he's on the sideline touching it. I told you at one point he hit something and convulsed by touching his own whatever injury. And you're thinking, wow, first game, Welker had the big game. Everybody's comparing. He is soft. He's going to miss games here. Then he comes back and it's the hero. I think he had six or seven of his catches after halftime. He and Vereen were the only guys Brady threw to on the final drive towards the game-winning field goal, and it's like the hero, and you're right. Everyone seemed like it was bouncing off somebody, diving,
right.
Leaning. And it's like, so he's not a pansy. We can eliminate when, you know, because they were coming
right.
in on Twitter, emails.
Right.
They were already coming in. They were negative in the first half when he was hurt.
Right.
So now he's a tough guy that unfortunately is probably going to miss some time here. So right. we know he's tough,
right.
but he's not going to be on the field.
Yeah. I predicted Edelman going into the game would be a big producer. No one listened to me, but sure enough, he's a talented, athletic football player.
Right.
Who has
to stay healthy.
Who has
I feel like there's a trend here with everybody we
right.
talk about. Sudfeld, Vereen, Amendola,
right.
Edelman. It's great that Edelman will get his chance now. He's going to be the focal point of the offense, I think, because, you know, kind of
right.
has to be.
Right.
But can he stay healthy?
Can he stay
healthy?
Or
is this going to be a two-game stretch and then he does something?
I was very disappointed with Sudfeld. I figured, you know, he would get some opportunities in this game. He only had one ball thrown to him and he fell down.
So, and it led to a pick.
Right.
He fell down awkwardly where it looked like he could have injured his neck in the way
right.
he fell.
And I don't know if that's where he hurt his hamstring, but it doesn't look like he'll be.
You know, the guy who was hurt for 5 of 6 years in college, essentially.
Right.
Yeah. All these guys, they're living up to their resume of, you know, even Vereen, we've said he's going to stay out. It's these little
right.
injuries.
Right.
And he gets an injury that he played through,
right.
which, again, is great.
Again, tough guy.
But it's some little
yeah.
bone or whatever they had to fix.
Right.
And it just, it's frustrating. I can only imagine for him. Can you imagine being Shane Vereen? You played through it, so it wasn't even excruciating or whatever. You had a great game. You were in the core rotation at the end. It's you and Amendola and Brady carrying the team to victory on opening day, and now you're out of action. Like,
right.
it's such a ugh.
It's such a ugh for everybody, for all the Patriots nation.
Right.
You know?
The only person it's good for is Stephen Ridley, because he goes, woohoo, they might have to play me.
Right. Just by default. So a lot of good, a lot of bad. It's the first week, and that's the way it goes for a lot of teams, most teams in the NFL.
Offensive line disappointed me.
Yeah, a little bit.
Especially with those blitzes where they ran it once, okay, he gets free. Okay, they run it again, and again, he's free. You know, that I can't imagine Dante Scarnecchia is happy with that. I know sometimes it's on the quarterback. He needs to see it or whatever, but having runaway rushers at Tom Brady is generally something they poo-poo.
That'll need to be solidified. I did enjoy seeing Nate Solder in motion
yes.
early in the game.
Yes.
And I was like, what the hell's going on?
Now, I was
on
a
here?
Little confused, and this was hard to follow on TV as well. Why? It seemed like Cannon got some other reps in the second half at tackle that weren't just when Solder was either in the game or the rep immediately following where he has to go out and then come back in. Was there anything that you noticed?
I didn't
play?
Hear or see anything. I just think it was, you know, giving guys blows.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 1-855-PATS-500. And you said that you used the Australian international number.
I called for it.
PPGS.
Yes, they called in immediately and told me Foster's, no one drinks
it. And it worked really well. All right, Kevin's in the booth. People are chomping at the bit to get their piece in, so make it short and pithy. Jeff is in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are
you? Good.
So you split the other day? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I'm doing a little bit of swimming. At least there was one lone voice out there that thought it would be a close game and didn't hit the over, but at least got the side on the Bills right.
Yeah, I was, I'm not going to lie, I was surprised. I thought a rookie quarterback missing your top two pass defenders, Brady, opening day. That's the other thing we should mention. His lowest passer rating since 2003 in Buffalo on opening day. In the last 4 or 5 years, it's been over 120 every time. So, yeah, I was surprised. I admit it.
Yeah, and I don't know if you realize, as New England fans, just where you guys are, on location. I was at the sports book watching the game. Everyone was just hoping New England would lose that game. The entire general national audience was vehemently rooting against the Patriots. So it was really nice to see them pull that out.
I love it. I love it when they hate us.
Hate is going to hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to jump ahead too much, there's a real interesting situation developing in Vegas. If Amendola and Vereen are out, looks like they both are, it's still the Patriots are favored by 13 points on Thursday, which seems like a very big number.
Yes.
And credit to strippers, I'm with him. We might try middle this game. Take the Jets at plus 13, then if the line drops, take the Patriots. If the line goes down, try middle the game.
Yeah, but hasn't the line actually been rising?
Yeah, which has been really weird. I guess it opened at 10.5, somehow went to 13.
Right.
Well, really, really
I think
odd.
Wilkerson got banged up toward the end.
A lot
of that.
Jets are hurt.
Yeah, so that
Jeremy Curley,
did
not practice, has a concussion, I want to say. Yeah, the Jets have their own issues. This has the makings to kind of be an ugly Thursday night
3-0
game.
All we need is the car wash, and we could have a 3-0 game here.
Yeah, I mean, what is it going to look like without Amendola and without Vereen? I mean, what if Edelman? I mean, really?
It's the Incredelman show. Like? Edelman's going to return punts. He's going to make plays. He's going to run end-arounds. He's going to win.
Yeah, and last point, super quick, guys, just as far as to educate the Patriots fans. Look, the Jets to win the game, I know, and I don't want to get too complicated, on the money line is plus 600. Make six times your money if the Jets win the game outright. Just as an insurance play, as a Patriots fan, all you want to do Thursday is get the win. Worst case scenario, somehow the Jets pulled this upset. You bet $100, you win $600. It's a nice little hedge. I know someone like Fred will never bet against the home team, but
well, someone like Fred doesn't bet. Okay,
someone like Fred works in the NFL.
Yeah,
he shouldn't.
I don't bet. But Jeff, thanks for the tip and thanks for the call. Let's go to San Diego. Andre is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Andre.
What's up, Freddie? What's up, Andy?
Hey, Andre.
Before I get started, I'm really surprised that Hart's Heidi Gym I dropped you never really picked up. I gave you real assist there to run with it. But anyway, I want to start with Stephen Ridley, man. Don't you guys think that since Vereen had that injury, it makes it easier for Ridley to get back in the lineup and hopefully getting back into good graces? And because we're going to need him no matter what through the year. I mean, he's going to be our guy, right?
There's no doubt that not only does it make it easier, it might make it necessary.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what I mean, unless Bolden all of a sudden's knees, his knees bothering him, unless he comes back and they decide to start Bolden, or bring in Leon Washington a little bit more, who, we know just re-signed.
Yeah. He's a third. You still have to have a back, bigger back.
None of these guys have the break. Well, Bolden might, but I think you're going to need Ridley.
It definitely helps Ridley try to earn his way back, even if Blunt starts and Ridley has to rotate in and can make some positive gains and get his feet wet again, because there's no doubt he was in the doghouse. We've seen it before.
Even with Blunt, we saw him in week one. He looked plodding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, capable for that 1 or 2 yards, in a cloud of
capable
dust.
Capable of a 17-yard kick return.
But he's plodding. He's not Stephen Ridley. He's not Shane Vereen.
No.
No,
it's not ideal.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the guys that should be the core of your running game. You drafted him in the second and third round 3 years ago for a reason, and both have shown flashes of they can be what you drafted them to be. But for Vereen, it's the health, and for Ridley, it's holding on to the damn football.
Right.
Right. And the last point is, so you guys have been pumping up all throughout the offseason. Well, not all, but, I mean, I was expecting a little bit more of these receivers. And it's more chemistry, right, just this first game and then maybe the big lights of the first game. It's not going to be how the season – we're not going to have this for the next couple of weeks. Like, even next week I could, or against the Jets, I'm probably expecting the same. Do you think they'll get it together pretty soon here?
Well, I think they can.
Yeah.
This was, as I said, for Tompkins, this was an eye-opener for me. I never saw signs that he was going to absolutely poop himself on opening day. Now, literally, I mean, he just, to me, it fell apart. The guy who was so consistent and looked so pro-ready fell apart. And I don't know if you said it's the big lights and it was prime time and then maybe it snowballed, you know, one of those where you're kind of off on a couple and it just, the bad day just snowballs.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect that to happen, but you got to think his confidence took a hit.
But I also think that when we did see Tompkins have success during the preseason, they were the shortest, quick slants, in cuts, those type of things.
Well, except for the last one.
I know, but then, we, you know, on this game, it was primarily sideline type routes, and those were the routes we thought Dobson would have. You know, so I'm, you know, I don't know if, you know, what Tompkins just isn't ready to have those types of routes. And
but Tompkins has been ahead of Dobson for, you know, more than a month now. It was clear that it was Amendola and Tompkins were your starting receivers.
Definitely.
So Dobson was going to get his work rotating in personnel groups, things of that nature. Now, I agree with you. He's more of a polished receiver, I think, at this point, that will run his comebacks and his in cuts and, you know, sideline routes when he gets his chances. But Tompkins has been the starter for quite, you know, dating back to, say, week two of the preseason. So to see him just sort of fall apart was eye-opening, alarming, and curious to me.
Yeah. All right, Andre.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
See you, Andre.
Speaking of Andre, Andre Carter was here for the workout.
You know what would be funny? If we brought in Andre Carter and Mark Anderson and just got the gang back together. Yeah. Hey, Tully Bantakane's available.
Let's go to Miguel in New Jersey. Hey, Miguel.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me on the radio.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I was actually this is my first time calling. I was actually very wary about the receiving court, and I'm very disappointed about the young tight end.
It's not like he had a ton of chances. They threw one ball his way. It led to an interception, and at some point, obviously, he injured his hamstring. I didn't have high hopes for Sudfeld. I thought he might flash a little, but I didn't think he was going to come out and be this core pass catcher for this team. I know, Fred, you felt a little differently.
I thought with the size that he had, and I thought we would maybe run some Gronkowski plays for him, maybe it would work, but it looks like it's not.
Well,
yeah,
look,
it's too bad.
One game.
And Gronk has had a lot of.
I still think he can produce. Come on.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean,
I'm not giving up.
The undrafted guys look like undrafted guys in their first chance.
Yeah, they're living up to their expectations. But as of right now, I don't know why we don't go up after like Deion Branch or Brandon Lloyd, see if we get something back for Brady.
Yeah. I have no interest in Lloyd, and Branch, I just think, is done.
Yeah.
He great guy. But I'm not sure he can get open and make a play anymore. Certainly not with consistency.
I think we need to get Dobson back out there, see what he can do. We got to work Boyce in a little bit. You know, he had one throw to him, which didn't work out. we got to work them in. And, you know, remember, Gronk's coming back. So, you know,
we don't even know when he's coming back.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, Tampa at the earliest and the next game after that, whatever. Who's after
Atlanta.
Tampa? Atlanta at the latest.
I agree with
you. I'll tell you that.
It won't be this week, I don't think. I'd be stunned if you saw him this
week. So week three.
As of right now, I heard that they're looking at Willis McGahee and Brandon Jacobs.
To bring them in?
Yeah. I'm fine with that as more depth if you feel like you need it in the backfield. Because Fred's right. It's not just Vereen that's hurt. You also have minor injuries to Bolden. And I believe Blunt has something.
Really? I don't know.
So, yeah, you have some and Washington has an injury coming back.
Right.
And he's not even really a running back over the last year plus. He's your kick returner. So, I wouldn't be – I'm not going to put my hopes on Willis McGahee or Brandon Jacobs, but if they need depth, those guys, you could do worse.
Yeah.
I feel like we should go after a wide receiver.
Yeah, I have no interest in any of the names that Gaffney, Branch, Lloyd, no thank you.
I just don't think, Miguel, they're going to step in and be – that much more of an improvement to what they have, and I'd rather have them work these guys because these are the guys that you need to have down the road.
Right.
You know, so
if you bring those guys in, you're cutting the rookies off at the knees for their development.
Right.
So you may have to take your lumps, but if you can get it to work, it'll pay off in the long run.
And I think, and thanks for the call, Miguel. I think they can struggle through these next two games and win with these guys. So,
yeah, I mean, they had 5 seconds to spare.
Right. Sure. You know, it's funny, we talk about Blunt returning kicks. He was lined back. I was a little surprised. He was lined up there for the kickoff, and people on the blog are like, what's he doing back there? And I write, you know, it doesn't matter. It's probably going to be a touchback anyway. And sure enough, he gets it at the two.
Steven Gostkowski's on the pro side of our ledger.
Sure.
You know, he not only hit his three field goal attempts. One was kind of ugly, but it worked.
Well,
made it.
Yeah, and I think he adjusted, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, you know, for a guy who had a bad summer, you know, he had a bad summer on the practice field and even on the game field.
And kicked him out of the yard.
And that was, I actually think one of those, you know, minor huge plays was after the field goal of 5 seconds to put it through the end zone and not allow a big return. To me, the only way the Bills win that game is basically return the kickoff for a touchdown. And you eliminated that. And that's a weapon. That's a good thing.
Yep. Longtime caller Eldridge in North Carolina is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Eldridge.
Uh-oh.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing today?
Good.
You're not happy, are you?
Hell no. I'm not, man. You know what? If this preview is a coming attraction, I don't want to see the rest of the show.
A preview the coming attractions?
Yeah, man. I mean, like, check this out now. I can understand the rookies. I can understand the rookies, you know, like Thompson, under the lights, you know, first time. You know, I can understand that. But that compound secondary with McCourty and Arrington and them getting burnt like that into lead, I can't understand that. I can't understand that.
Well, Stacey, Fred thought it was okay.
You thought it was okay?
Fred thought it was okay. I thought Arrington, that play in the slot was terrible. Well, I won't say they sucked. They only gave up 150 yards through the air.
Right.
But they gave up two
touchdowns.
Ugly 18-yard touchdowns where they made it too easy on a rookie quarterback and his receiver.
Yep.
Too easy.
But see, one thing y'all keep forgetting, though. I know he's a rookie, Manuel. I watched Manuel. Like I said, I'm a Florida State fan. I watched Manuel for 3 years. The boy can throw.
Okay, so now that...
He's a passer. He can scramble. He can throw.
Well, that's good, though.
Give him a couple more years, a couple more games on his belt. Watch.
I know, but Eldridge, if you called in and told me I watch Florida State all the time and Manuel stinks, and that would have made, you know, those two bad plays even worse. But I think they're going to be okay. You know, that was bad communication on that easy touchdown between Tlaib and Gregory, you know, it looked like. And
yeah, Gregory too.
That can be fixed.
Yeah, but the problem is we had doubts about the pass defense, and the pass defense was dubious.
Okay. Well, no, they didn't get torched.
I didn't say they get torched.
Who didn't get torched last year?
What's that?
You still tell me the secondary didn't get torched last
year. No, I'm talking about on Sunday. On Sunday.
Okay, Sunday.
Last year, of course. Over the last 4 years, they've been torched.
Right.
They've been on fire.
And I don't think it's a great first effort.
Yeah. I'm okay. I'm hopeful with it. Thanks for the call, Eldridge. I'll see you in South Carolina. or North Carolina, wherever the Carolina Panthers
are. I was going to say, why are you going to South Carolina?
Let's go to Miami. Larry's there. Hey, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Uh-oh, he's down. Larry's down.
What's the matter, Larry?
Nah, it's a lot. It's like the bottom is coming off.
The bottom's coming off?
Yeah.
The glass isn't half empty.
It's
the bottom fell off.
No, the reason why Amendola already got injured, I don't think he's going to make it through the season. And then just to lose
Vereen.
Huge.
It's huge. And, of course, the fumbling from Ridley. And it's becoming a very big problem because if that's in a big game in a big spot, we lose.
It
was the Bills.
Yep.
It was just the Bills that they
did. Well, that fumble that they returned changed the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that you know.
And he got lucky the first time that he fumbled it, and they called him down by contact, and then Dan Conley also fell on it. So they wouldn't have lost it, but you can't be doing that with any regularity. And I know they don't count, but he did it on the goal line in practice. To me, that's close to a real rep. That's in my mind if I'm a coach, because goal line in practice is as close as you get to
the
game.
Right. Yeah.
And so in my mind, he did it on the goal line in practice. He did it, you know, it's a problem. It's just a problem.
It's a problem, and the receiving core is, I don't want to be dependent on Edelman. He did a great job yesterday, you know, but I don't want to, down the stretch, don't want to be dealing with Edelman all the time because he dropped a sure touchdown and just went right through his hands.
Well, look, I know a lot of people say that, but it went through the screen of two other guys. It wasn't an easy catch, you know. So, you know.
Well, Bill got a lot of things to handle because with the trade deadline coming, he better do something. I know the defense is just as usual.
Larry, step back from the ledge. Step back from the ledge, buddy.
I'm just saying.
You're in sunny Miami. The Patriots are 1-0.
If the Patriots had lost, would you still be with us, Larry?
Yeah, yeah, of
course. Okay, all right. I just want to make sure now.
It's not as bad as it seems. We knew there were going to be lumps with this team. Now, we thought the lumps might come a little later because these were kind of gimme games. You know, Fred called it the fifth preseason game. It obviously was not that.
Well, it looked like it.
Yeah, it kind of looked like the third preseason game did.
Right.
Crappy.
But what receiver do you think we can trade for the trade deadline?
No trading. We're not going to trade for anybody. This is who we have for the most part.
Real.
You know, I don't think that you're going to see any addition to the offense other than an offensive lineman here or there that's going to make a difference. I really don't.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see them tinker at a tight end. You only have one healthy tight end.
Yeah, you
right
might
now.
Bring in Ballard, Fells, you know.
I saw Fells visited Seattle, I believe. Yeah. So I'd love to get him in here, as everybody knows what I think of him. But
yeah,
you can't really go to a game, can you, with just Hooman and then Solder and Devlin as your tight ends? I mean, I think you need to add somebody there.
Right.
And I wouldn't be surprised to see a receiver at some point. You know, I don't know what Dobson's hamstring is, or, you know, any one of these guys, I wouldn't be surprised if they just end up on IR or something, and a veteran receiver, but I'm not going to target it. I, you know, Doug Gabriel, the year they traded for, I didn't know he was coming here until he came here. So somebody like that could certainly pop up.
And he did nothing.
Right, and he was gone.
Right.
But Jabbar Gaffney, I didn't know was coming here, and he became the key to the offense down the stretch as a 100-yard receiver. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple additions here or there.
Well, all right, Larry.
All right, guys.
It'll be all right. Don't worry about
it. It'll be all right. The Jets suck, too.
You mentioned, who were you talking about, tight ends? You know, Gronkowski, you know, is there a chance that because of this back surgery that he had, that he could actually come back stronger?
I doubt it.
No?
I mean, I have no idea, but Gary Tanguay posed this to me on TV. Could he be better? He's quicker. He lost a little weight. He's lighter. No.
Well, not because of that. I'm just because this could be something that had been nagging him, and now we finally got it correct.
But not better than what we've seen him. Maybe better than what he was at some point last year.
Yeah.
But the guy for 2 years has been a touchdown a game. I find it hard to believe he can be much better than that. Much better than 17 touchdowns 2 years ago.
You know, feeling better.
No.
No?
No. Does he ever look like he's dragging? I saw dragging. That was Kyle Brady. That was Algie Crumpler. They had to pull on the walls to pull themselves out of their seat. I've always seen Gronkowski just kind of bopping around the locker room. I've never seen him drag, so no, I don't think so.
All right. Chris with a TIN. Hey, Christian.
Rob Gronkowski, help!
Yeah, but you don't want to rush him.
Help!
That's the last thing we want, is to rush him back out there, and then he joins this
Eric will be outraged.
Right.
I know. Listen, hey, got out of there. It was rough. Yeah, the whole Tompkins play was, you know, pretty shocking. And, you know, the Ridley thing concerns me more because this has been happening since his rookie year. And he had a nice year last year, but it seems like it's one of those things. I remember when Kevin Falk first started with this team, when he fumbled a lot. And then he fixed it.
Yep.
And he became great at handling the ball. I mean, my God, how great was he on third down? The Ridley thing concerns me more because I think something like that can get in your head. And I hope he's a strong enough of a player mentally for it not to. But I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that. Like, what do you think he is mentally with the whole thing?
I don't know. I think he has dealt with it relatively well, but the longer it goes, to me, the harder it is. And I know Kevin Falk has done some mentoring with him and Vereen and the fumbling thing and talked to him about that. I just, you know, he probably has thought a couple different times over the last couple of years that he kind of put it in the rearview mirror. So I just don't know how he'll deal with the frustration of it just keep popping up. Because you're right. Falk put, you know, did away with it. Tiki Barber was another guy famously did away with it.
When Coughlin became head coach, yep.
Ridley is struggling to, you know, he's kind of, I don't want to take away. He had a great year last year. 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns. But it's now back. And it's still an issue, and this is 3 years now that it's been an issue. And to me, I could see that being frustrating, even if you are a mentally tough person and trying to work past it.
Yeah, that's just hopefully you can. And, you know, you talked and you let off about Brady sort of being patient. Yeah, he's got it. He doesn't have a choice.
Right.
And you got to hope that these kids, Tompkins and Dobson and Boyce, can really just get it and contribute somewhat. Listen, they're all not going to have 50 catches and you know, 8 touchdowns, but, you know, you get enough from everybody, and you wait till Gronk gets back, and you should be in good shape.
If you can average, one rookie a week, one of that group of, I'll include Sudfeld, if one of the four per week can look good, I think you're okay. You know, if you have Amendola, if you have the rest, Gronk will be back. But I don't think you can get Ofer out of those rookies. You have to get some contributions out of those guys. And different guys, but on a consistent basis, somebody has to contribute.
Yep. And Fred?
Yeah.
You said Harrington.
Yeah, I got it on Twitter, too, people said.
Yeah. I was breathy, but I didn't say Harrington.
The other thing we have to remember, and I know it's regular season versus preseason, but, okay, if Bolden can be back, then we'll get Bolden out. If you remember the last time we saw him, he had a soft fumble. And the last time we've seen Sudfeld, he had a soft fumble and he had an interception. So, you know, a lot of these, it's almost like if Brady wants to turn away from him, they can't turn away from, well, that guy's hurt. That guy fumbled twice. That guy fumbled once. That guy dropped one. That guy pooped himself on opening day. He's just got to bite the bullet and keep going, plugging along.
Matt's in Oregon. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
But he's in Maine now, right?
I'm in Maine now. That's
okay.
Great.
Oh. He's still Matt in Oregon, but he's located in Maine.
Okay. Whereabouts in Maine, Matt?
I live in Wells now.
Wells?
Yep.
Okay.
Is all's Wells in Wells?
They call it Northern Mass. But anyway, hey, first off, props to Christian. That guy is by far the best caller that calls in.
Okay.
And
some listener on listener love.
Yeah, no, over the years, there have been people who call in, you know, very regularly that you get really sick of listening to. But he gets me laughing every time, usually because he's making fun of Andy's mom. But
that is true.
He still gets me laughing every time. I wanted to throw out one bright point that I picked up from the game was the tackling by Steve Gregory. Coverage, you know, whatever, you can take it or leave it. But he actually managed to hit guys, wrap them up, and bring them to the ground. And that's been an issue. So I was happy to see that. I think he needs to teach everybody else how to do that.
Yeah, tackling often, you know, that was an issue for him last year. I know it got him in sort of the doghouse of a lot of fans who don't want to see him back. I thought he was okay the other day. He had that one issue with Tlaib, whatever happened there. And tackling.
Right, well, I mean, yeah, but his, you know, if he made contact with the guy, he brought him to the ground generally.
Right.
And that's, you know, how many times have we seen Patriots defenders bounce off a guy?
Yeah, including him.
So, yep. Yeah, including him, exactly.
Yep.
I was happy to see that. You know, I mean, as far as everything else, you know, we're taking our lumps for sure. You know, I'm still just as excited to see them play the Jets on Thursday as I would have been had they won 40-0, you know, on Sunday. So,
and
you got to take what you can get.
As you just said, we're taking our lumps, but our lumps is 1-0.
Right.
It's good to have your lumps. Your lumps could be the Jaguars, who you scored a safety and didn't score again. You lost 28-2 or whatever.
Right.
It's much better to have your lumps be a win.
Right.
So true.
Okay. Thanks, Matt.
Right, well, thanks, guys. Keep up the great work.
All right. Matt in Maine calling in on the Ace Ticket Hotline. A lot of emails coming in, too,
Andy.
A lot
of calls.
You know, it's funny. You were talking earlier about Ridley, and it's in his head.
Maybe. I mean, it's got to be. It's been around long enough.
People were criticizing Doug Marrone for challenging that call where Connolly actually recovered. So even if they had won the challenge, yeah, you don't lose your timeout, but you don't get the ball anyway. So why bother challenging it? But I think, and it's probably unintended, but I think one of the effects of that, making Ridley stand there for 2 minutes and wonder if it was a fumble or not, is him standing there for 2 minutes wondering if it's a fumble or not.
Yeah, I just
because remember that
challenge
was the first one, and then he fumbled again after that. And you're right, it's not worth wasting a challenge. But I think that was one of the side effects, is I fumbled again, and you know, sure enough, it could be a fumble if this ref gets the review wrong.
And he was trying to sell his point, which I don't really know what it was.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so
it's definitely in his head. It has to be. No, any human being would be in your head. 3 years now, at some point, you've been questioned for your ball security. You've had forced.
Right.
And the other thing gets lost is sometimes people try to defend him and they look at just the fumbles. Like, that wasn't a fumble. In the record book, that was not a fumble.
Right.
History will not show that he fumbled twice against the Bills. History shows he fumbled once against the Bills.
Right.
And he had that fumble. Was it his first year? Fumbled out of bounds.
Right.
Like, he had similar
things.
Well,
that wasn't a fumble.
He had similar things where they kind of double up, but one of them isn't really a fumble.
Right.
No, it is. When the ball leaves his hand, it's a fumble. I don't care how it
all
happens.
I'll give you a little inside information. In Blunt's first preseason game here, he actually put the ball on the ground. It wasn't like one of those, like you said, it wasn't recorded as a fumble, but he did fumble it and recovered it. And after the game, he came to Bill and he said, you know, I put the ball on the ground there. I will never do that again.
Never?
Well, that's what he told.
Bold statement to me.
That's what he told the coach.
Oh, so I'll add him to the mix. He's a fumbling problem, too. So who does Brady turn to? Everybody within the last two times he's given him the ball has screwed up.
All right, Paul's here. Just came back from the locker room.
Hey, how was Harrington?
Why are you calling him Harrington?
Oh, Pat, people
say that.
No, people do not say it. You said it.
I was a little.
It was backed up on Twitter. It was backed up on phone calls.
Was,
you said
was
Harrington.
Was your Twitter blowing up?
I was a little breathy, and I might have said Harrington.
Okay.
But I said Harrington.
Kyle Harrington. Yeah. He was excellent. Excellent. So you look for that on the next edition of PFW TV.
And when is that?
I don't know. That's why I said the next edition.
Yeah, is it Wednesday or Thursday night?
Still Thursday.
And I have no idea.
Wednesday.
Okay.
Game on Thursday.
I have no idea.
Boy.
Right.
We thought Curran's ratings took a hit last week going up against a non-New England game. If he has to go at 8 o'clock when the pregame show is on for the Patriots, he's got no chance.
So,
don't get breathy. You'll call him Harrington.
We had a little interview, and I asked him to demonstrate his technique, stripping the ball. I said, knock the microphone out of my hand. Let me see what do you do?
Look at this guy. Oh, this guy's a TV veteran.
He's using props now.
He did. I did.
And mics probably cost what?
Well,
$2,000?
He said, I don't want to knock the mic out of your hand. In other words, like, he was going to be able to knock it out of my hands. But he did compliment me on the high and tight technique. We had a little fun.
You're such a loser.
That's good.
We had a little fun.
Good.
I also had some fun with Nate Solder, although not on camera. I asked him when the last time he went in motion was, and he started laughing.
A false start?
And I said,
and he ate you.
And I said, I know you played a lot of tight end, your rookie year, but I don't remember you, and I put the Brady, the foot up in the air, and then went in motion, you just started laughing.
He would never eat anybody.
You're just the locker room clown.
Yeah, I asked no serious questions.
Playing the role of Tom Curran today.
Yeah.
I asked nobody any serious questions. But Vince Wilfork spoke. I think Chandler Jones may have spoken when I was talking to Harrington. Ninkovich. I think Mayo they were all preparing to speak to toward the end of the locker room period, which it should be over now. I wanted to get down here and help you guys out a little bit after I finished Harrington, which was just a minute ago. Some receivers. I think Josh Boyce spoke. Julian Edelman spoke. So
it was weird, though. He did it in front of somebody else's locker. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. I'm just going to start taking rookie jokes.
Kembrell Tompkins. I don't know why everybody's been recording that he only had 4 catches. I counted 8. I mean, every one of them that he caught at least twice.
And he did catch at least 2 out of bounds, right?
Yeah, I don't count.
Look at that. He might have had 10 out of 14 catches,
Paul. You guys are far too negative. So what are you guys talking about? Don't say the Patriots.
People
Brian
aren't
Moore
happy.
Is no longer on the show.
Larry in Miami is not happy. Taking our lumps is what one other caller referred to it as.
We're getting previews of the coming attractions.
Oh, I mean that's a little bit much, don't you think?
What?
We're getting calls for Brandon Lloyd, Deion Branch, receivers.
We are getting calls for Brandon Lloyd. We got a couple of emails about that. I'm just going to include that in one of the emails for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your take, Paul? Do they need to bring in help, or do you think they go with what they got and struggle through these next two
games?
I
think part of the reason that it's a struggle is because they insisted the last few years is when they've been desperate, they go to the tried and true well, and I think that they just need to break ties with those guys and learn to sink or swim with these guys.
Right.
They need to get these guys better. Now, listen, there's no guarantees here. No one's perfect. They may not have gotten the right guys. We'll find out. But I'm not ready to give up on Kembrell Tompkins after one, subpar performance. I don't think he looked good the other day. I thought he looked like an undrafted rookie, and I think that I've seen him look better in training camp and in the preseason. And what you see, and this is something I'm going to be writing about for the next issue, is, again, there's a huge difference between the summer and the regular season. And it was evident on Sunday. Some of those guys didn't look quite ready. But I'm not ready to give up on them.
No, not at all.
I still think offensively
That's
they're going to be okay.
That's after Thursday night we give up on.
All right, let's get to some of these emails.
I'm not expecting to get much better Thursday night. I think they're playing a much better defense Thursday night.
Let's get to some emails. They're coming in fast and furious. We had a lot of calls, Paul.
Yeah, we let off with 8 calls or something.
Yeah.
So, see, that just proves it. Losing sells better.
No, even when you win.
When you don't play well, it sells better because there's more things to bitch about.
Yeah, no
TG
question.
And NJ, speaking of bitching, he says, where did they get this Sosi guy for the play-by-play? I think he's fine. And who's got a problem with Bob Sosi?
Nothing.
I don't see how you could have a problem with Bob Sosi. He's solid.
Yeah.
And that call was as informative as you can get.
Sure.
He had everything you needed. Perfectly timed.
Right.
As fundamentally speaking, he's very good.
Yeah.
I don't know what people think about just like the sound or the aura of him, but fundamentally he's good.
What's with the new Patriots logo that looks like a Western script? Why, Fred? I kind of agree with him there. It's got a very Texas look to it.
I agree. I don't like it.
I kind of agree.
Am I allowed to say that?
Sure.
Okay.
It's going to take all season long for this offense to develop. Won't be surprised if they don't win the division. Won't be surprised if they lose Thursday night. Why does the so-called genius coach surround his star QB with mediocre receivers again? Feels like 06. Seems like such a waste. He has no one of quality to throw to. Belichick, the GM, has really done him a disservice. Who is more banged up, the Patriots or the Steelers? Only saving grace for the Patriots is that they are in the worst division in football. The AFC East stinks. Grumble, grumble, moan, moan. The sky is falling down. Love week one in the NFL. Guys, do you think there is anything to the argument that the lack of full contact practice is leading to all the bad football we saw this first week?
Did we see a lot of bad football in the first week?
I
didn't.
That was a question, not an answer, by the way.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, I know I saw bad football in the Patriots game. I saw five turnovers, sloppy football. But was that indicative of the rest of the league?
The Giants game, you know, the Giants had like six...
Six turnovers. Yeah. Certainly they would fall victim. But what I'm saying, is that indicative of the way the week? Because I don't know. I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't know if this week was any worse than any other week one.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the games.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that guys get tired and sloppy early in the season every year.
I mean, they always talk about there seems to be a lot of returns early in the season
right.
because that people aren't ready. There's some guys that are playing special teams haven't really been doing it all summer. Some guys are not ready, as Andy just alluded, to playing a full 60 minutes, and you get a little tired, and you see some big returns. So I think sloppy football is kind of what you see early in seasons. Right. You don't really...
A wise man once said there's a reason they call it mid-season form.
Hmm. Yeah, well,
because you're in mid-season. Right.
The guy who said that to me recently wasn't all that wise, but...
Who said that? Me?
You.
Oh.
Will in Okazaki, Japan.
I was just wondering if all Konnichiwa. The games were like the Patriots games, and they were all bad.
Dear men of PFW and Eric, who was probably busy putting together a scrapbook of Patriots losses to show a street vendor in Budapest while being pickpocketed.
Now, that's a good line right there.
He can't even give you a smirk.
That's a good
smile.
Line right there.
Eric's here, by the way. He just got in here. What a game. It's good to come away with a W after playing such a sloppy game on offense. I wanted to throw out a couple of questions for you gentlemen to discuss. Does this game go down as won by the defense? What percentage of the blame for the offensive misfires can you lay on Brady? And what percentage on the rookie receivers? And have you gained any confidence in Gostkowski from his performance on Sunday?
Nailed it.
Anyway, I chalk this one up to learning experience from which we managed to get away. That being said, I wouldn't be surprised to see that Buffalo's defense lives up to last year's hype a season late and think the rematch will be interesting to watch. So getting to his questions, was the game won by the defense?
The defense had a very good game, I thought. I mean, if it weren't for the mistakes on offense, I think this would have been over a lot sooner than it was.
Yeah.
You know, the defense wasn't dominant by any means, but I mean they really only gave up the one, you know, miscue by Tlaib, it looked like, on that touchdown pass at the end of the half, and what's the other one?
Arrington got blown.
Arrington,
by the slot.
Right? Arrington got beaten, and McCourty was a little late coming over there. But otherwise, I thought they got at least some pressure, a little bit of pressure on Manuel, forced them to throw a little bit early at times, and scramble a little bit. I mean, they weren't great, but I think they were better
job
than...
Job number one was stopping C.J. Spiller, and they did it.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. So overall, I think I give them passing grades on defense.
Now, that's the only thing I was happy with, is I thought they were excellent on Spiller. And he's a dangerous guy. I don't think we were guilty of hyping him up too much. We've seen him hurt other teams. We've seen him hurt the Patriots. They made him a non-factor on Sunday. Everything else I wasn't impressed with.
Let's see. Wow. What percentage of the blame
I'm defending the
was Brady, and what was it on, you know, who he had around him?
100% on who he had around him.
Close.
Well, except for the fumble by Brady.
Yeah. I would say that. That's right. You don't want to dismiss that.
He
that
pulled
was,
out.
That was a huge play.
I had a
and
good
I also,
line on that, by the way, Fred, that I can't say, but I had a good pullout line for Brady.
I'm sure
I also was not happy with him saying we have to look at the film.
you say it on the air? No.
No, he can't say that on the air. It was a good line, but he really shouldn't say it on the air. And if he
well,
does,
there are a lot of things he shouldn't say on the air that he does.
If
that's
he does,
why I was hoping that he would.
There may
do
be
this
four
stuff.
Resignations coming.
And what about Gostkowski? Did you get any more confidence in him than you had before?
I have as much confidence as I did. I still think he's a very good kicker. Yeah. I really do.
I don't have any more confidence. I felt good about his performance. I don't know if those two things are stupid to say together, but the summer wasn't good, and his first real effort was good. Okay.
I don't have. I'm kind of like it. Probably not as far as Eric, but I'm like Eric in that I didn't have a tremendous amount of concern. Maybe a little more than you do, but he kicked two chip shots. Well, and one long.
The reason I don't have that much concern is that, and I know what the argument's going to be against this, but the kicks that he has missed predominantly have been long range, and I know that, you know, in today's day and age, the kickers are a lot bigger, a lot stronger. 40 to 45 yards is not a long field goal anymore, quote unquote. But it's still not easy when you're at that distance. Just because kickers have the leg to the distance to get it there doesn't mean it's still easy to line it up from that far out. And most of his misses, crucially, have been from that range. Not like he's missing chip shots. It's not like the missing Sisson days when he couldn't hit ocean from the side of a boat.
Well, and also, you know, it's
booyah!
Like, it's like the next guy that succeeds Brady. We're coming from a guy who every time there was a clutch kick made it. You know, so that's right. What we're going for.
And this guy hasn't had as many opportunities to have clutch kicks.
He hasn't. That's why I'm not like overly concerned. But when he, you know, like I don't dismiss a 41-yard miss when the game's on the line. When 41 yards is you make 85% of the time. He does. Not the rest. He makes 85% of those kicks, and he wasn't able to do that at times. And I thought he did struggle a little bit this summer.
I just can't get that day where he missed six in a row and then threw his hands up.
So I feel like Andy said,
like that bothered me.
His performance was settling a little bit because you saw some struggles in the preseason. You didn't want that lingering into the regular season, and it didn't. He was dead solid, perfect on all of his kicks, and that's a good sign.
All right.
Fred's eyeing a plate of sandwiches.
He really does. Like the minute the food's in front of
him. All right,
we're going to
take a break like this when he's doing it.
Well, that's been an hour, right?
Yeah, we've been, you know.
Yeah! Been saying Howard Harrington for an hour.
I've been exhaling for an hour. I need to do a little inhaling.
All right, Andy.
Like a man.
So we're going to do that right now, and we'll be right back. A lot of emails.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Take offense at it.
Did you listen?
You have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398, 1-855-PATS-500, web radio. At patriots.com is the way to email us.
I'm going
to
put another call out.
Yeah.
So we got one from Australia. I want a call from one of our non-English European lines. I don't know what they are because I've never been to that.
Germany?
Place. I want a call from either Germany, Sweden,
France,
Italy.
Italy.
Any of those places
Espana?
That have lines. Get on the horn and call now. I don't know the number.
Czech
Go
Republic?
To the webpage. I don't know. Do we have
Hungary?
All right. I know.
There's
a lot of countries in Europe, Eric.
No, I said I'm hungry.
Oh.
I don't know if we have a Hungarian.
Not anymore.
About Romanian. Ever since we got rid of Mesko.
Well, that's what
I'm
saying. Now,
we,
because of Mesko,
yeah.
it's, they're all Steeler fans now.
Yeah, what do we called it the Romanian roll. What do we call Ryan Allen's?
That was a
lucky
massive roll.
Yeah, lucky. Yeah.
Lucky SOB roll.
Which is part of the scouting report, according to you, right?
Yes, that's what the Ranger said.
Gets a good roll.
Gets a good, most of his longest kicks are very fortunate rolls. But it's one of those things. Okay, well, maybe he's good at it or something. You know, if you do it often enough, then it's not luck anymore.
Right. Megan writes in, I listen to you guys all the time and enjoy every minute of your show, even Andy's adolescent jokes.
See?
I'm usually not a person who freaks out about the team or much else, but the Patriots offense has me concerned to the point where I'm questioning Bill's moves in the offseason more than ever. I understand the Hernandez situation being a huge curveball, but I think they needed to give Brady someone to pass to. I love what Amendola did Sunday, but now he's not even at a walkthrough today, and Shane Vereen is injured for weeks. On Thursday, who does Brady rely on out there?
Incredelman and Boyce. I think Boyce will make at least two large plays in this game.
Why do you think that?
I don't know, because I think that's what he's going to do, and I think they're going to need it. And I think they're going to pound the underneath short passing game with Edelman and then hit some end-arounds or a deep ball to Boyce. That's my game plan.
I hope Leon Washington is available for this game as well, for not just the kickoffs, but especially because it looks like we're not going to have Vereen in there either. And I think the old man still might have something as long as his thigh is healthy.
The old man.
Well, for a running back, he's an old man.
Yeah. I don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be intriguing.
Who man? He's a possibility.
Intriguing.
Shoulder. When was the last time he caught a pass? He's our second tight end right
high school.
Christian writes in, "Hey guys,
he's going
it's
in
Christian
motion
in Boston. Just wanted to calm some fans and non-fans like Eric." And keep them from jumping the bridge on the Patriots season.
Wait, this isn't our Christian.
No, this is not Chris with TIN. This is a Christian.
Yep. Don't overreact. Well, we knew the Patriots offense would be a work in progress. Tompkins played as bad of a game at wide receiver we've seen in a while. Keep in mind he's a rookie, an undrafted one at that, and this was his first real NFL game. He clearly had a case of the jitters because we already saw how well he can catch the football, run routes, and keep his footing when running those routes in camp and preseason. I think he'll be significantly better Thursday, but if he isn't, on to the next one. And speaking of the other rookies, I saw Josh Boyce get behind a guy downfield a couple times on Sunday. I don't know why he only got 15 snaps in the game. We need to unleash that guy's deep speed to make things easier for Amendola and Edelman in the middle. Anyway, just wanted to add my 2 cents. Thanks.
Don't worry. It's coming on Thursday. He'll get a deep ball. I feel it.
Well, I think it is, but you know, what if you don't have Amendola?
Well, you get Edelman.
You know, so you don't have as much occupying underneath on that.
What if you have Dobson?
Same.
Yeah, they're going to have to. I think Josh McDaniels, you know, we talked last week, Andy, you and I had the little point counterpoint and all that. So who's the pressure on? I think this week. Not the season, but this week the pressure's on Josh McDaniels.
Sure.
Because he's got to figure out, all right, who do I have and what can I do with him?
And he's got a whole 3 days to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because along those lines, I thought, you know, on Sunday, I thought, you know, 14 targets for Tompkins on a day where clearly he wasn't playing well. I sort of agree with the email. I'm not ready to end the Kenbrell Tompkins experiment yet, but clearly it wasn't working on Sunday. Do we have an ability to sort of deviate from the game plan and say, okay, maybe that was a matchup that we really wanted to focus on, but it's not working. You know, he's not ready. Today, he's not ready. So let's go somewhere else. I thought they were, you know, 14 was too many for him.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously Tom thought that because when the game was on the line, he said, no one's getting the ball but Danny or Shane. That's it. You know, it was going to those two and no one else was going to be involved. And I just thought they were a little slow.
The game's not on the line this week.
He's like the typical youth coach that when it's crunch time, he just puts in his good guy.
He rides the horses when the game's on the line.
Right. We rotate, stay in.
Right.
Listen, in my team, everybody gets a chance unless the game's on the line.
Right.
That is a good comparison.
Adam writes in, Adam from Dublin. Love listening to the show. I've made it a part of my routine to download the podcast since discovering it in the off season. I'd like to know what everyone thinks about how the practice limitations, no 2 days in pads, from the new CBA have affected the teams in their ability to really put their players through the mill ahead of the season. I ask in specific regard to Stephen Ridley. Ball security has been an issue for him since entering the NFL, but if the coaches can't expose him to a high volume of competitive work in pads in practice on a consistent basis, then maybe it will take much longer for him to address his fumbling. What do you think of that?
I don't
less
know.
Chances in pads, less chances for him to work on his fumbling problem.
I think some guys just have that problem. Yeah. I mean, well, to be fair, Kevin Falk had that problem early on, too, and he was able to get over it.
Right.
I don't know exactly what he did to correct that, but Shame. Whatever they did.
Stephen Ridley does, because he's talked to him.
Well, he's not doing it, though. Or at least it's
not a want to.
It's a can. Right.
Yeah. And listen, I don't.
Are they in pads less?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
I don't think they're in pads.
Well, they're not allowed to have 2-a-days.
No, I know, but they're almost always in pads when they're out there, as opposed in the other times when they weren't always in pads.
And when you had 2-a-days, one of them wasn't in pads.
Right. That's what I mean.
The number of practices less. That's really the bottom line.
Well, yes.
Well, yeah.
Because you eliminated the 2-a-days.
That was part of the CBA.
But I don't know that you eliminated a lot of
contacts.
Now, I do think the more you could hit, the more you can give him live reps.
Sure.
But you'd also end his career potentially. Like, if you just say, I'm going to beat the snot out of him for the next week and a half in camp, then he might not make it to the season. Okay, he held on to the ball, but he's got, you know, broken ribs
and the fumble,
bad shoulder.
The frustrating part to me on the fumble, the one that they ended up losing, the official fumble, that had nothing to do with contact. He went down and lost the ball. Like, I don't understand how that happens.
Right.
You know, when it originally happened, I thought he got seriously hurt.
Well, his elbow did hit the ground, and that's
right.
What forced it.
And that can't happen.
No.
When it originally happened, I thought that, and Andy did too, that he got hurt.
Right.
That he maybe had stuck his foot in the ground and got caught in that turf, and maybe he tore his ACL or something. But then when you see him, he's fine. I'm like, how did he lose the ball? Just, you know, falling to the ground. It wasn't like a violent fall, like where he lost his footing and didn't realize he was going to the ground.
No, he was trying to use his arm to keep himself
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
And that's how the ball came loose.
How the ball comes loose.
It's actually
on that.
The opposite of, you know how they make them do the drill with the ball security where they put the off hand down? Because a lot of guys, when they put their hand down, tend to put the ball
out. Loose from
so
the
that's
body.
A drill. Maybe they need to add a drill somehow going down and making sure that you don't allow that to come free.
How do you practice unexpected falls?
I don't know, Paul. I'm just saying. Screw you.
Pratt falls.
Yep.
What do you guys think of deer hunting?
I don't like it.
And that's not a deer.
What is it?
I don't know, but it's not a deer.
It's an antelope or something.
It's got like big pointy straight up ones.
I don't know.
Straight up
it's
ones.
In like Africa.
Yeah.
That's like in Africa something.
It's like Africa hot.
My neighbors do it, and my son wants to do it. He's going with them duck hunting on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't they give the ducks and the deer some guns?
I'm not really into it, I don't think. I shot a bird once with a BB gun and I cried.
Well, I mean, duck hunting is one thing, but, you know, the deer.
It's okay.
And I understand we got to keep the deer population down. You know, it's actually there's too many deer. But it just, I feel so sad when I see that deer lying there dead.
Yeah, well,
you know,
because you're not a hunter. I'm with you, but I understand it. I mean, to each his own. I'm not one of those people that, like, chastise the people that you hunt. I mean, it's if you're doing it for sport and you're doing it with license and all that.
And for food. Most of them eat it.
Sure. To each his own. Absolutely.
That's different.
No, but most of them eat it. Like Matt in Oregon just called in a little while ago. He eats it.
No,
I know all the people I know that do it.
I have no problem with that.
They actually have like these game dinners where people come in like a group of 40 guys.
Game dinners. I like that term. I like that.
But not games.
No,
right.
And
they
I
all
know
bring.
Exactly what you meant.
One guy brings turkeys, one guy brings deer.
Look, I don't think they should outlaw deer hunting either. If you like doing it, go ahead and do
what
it.
What a liberal you are.
Just,
what a liberal.
No,
but it's not for me.
I just feel bad for
the
deer.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do it.
It's not for me.
It's
I agree.
There's no contest there. It's not a.
That's why I said give the deer a gun and even it up.
Plus, even the sport aspect, I have no interest in. I have no interest in sitting in a tree stand for 6 hours in case a deer walks by so I can shoot him. That's not fun. Now, the most dangerous game where they put you out there and it's humans versus humans. Now, that'd be cool. That book.
Oh, The Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games, right?
When I read it, it was the most dangerous game.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
It's like a short
story.
Adam
also
says,
did you see Deshaun Jackson's latest behavior last night against D'Angelo Hall?
Yes.
I'm hardly breaking news when I say that guy is an out-and-out punk.
Dude is unstable.
With no class. But in Ireland, we have an expression for guys like him. He's a toe rag.
Although that was a pretty bad cheap shot that Hall gave him to start the whole thing.
Yeah, they were going at it pretty good.
Yeah, Jackson's a jerk.
He is.
You know, what did you think about, you know, everyone made this big thing about the first half in that game, and it was pretty impressive to see the amount of plays and the quickness, and, you know, they were on pace for over 100 plays in the game. It was considerably slowed down the second half, but, you know, this whole thing with Chip Kelly, and he's so innovative. I got a feeling, though, that the way he runs that team, there's too much smiling and hugging and laughing on the sideline.
Too much having fun.
You think he's too much of a player's coach?
This is not to have fun. I think the exact opposite.
Eric did it exactly. I think he is too much of a player's coach. But when things go bad for Chip Kelly, I think he's going to turn, and they're not going to stand why he's like that.
We have to see, but I think if he can last long enough, I think it's a destination. I think players will want to play there. Running backs and receivers are going to say, whoa,
skill
position guys will say,
I can go
play in a system that's going to put up and have fun, and he's young coach, and he seems to – I think now, who knows when adversity comes how it
Focused on the intangible
right.
Element. To me, I'm much more worried about the tangible. Like LeSean McCoy looked like he was going to die halfway through the third quarter last night.
Right.
And that was as well as I've seen a running back play in a long time. He was unbelievable. Some of the cuts that he was making, but when you're running three plays in 30 seconds, I'm sorry, you can't carry the ball three times that quickly. And he was getting it every play.
No, I know.
And then going to the sideline, looking like he was going to pass
out.
To
me, three of those.
But that's where I think you could get a guy like, I don't like Stephen Ridley's a second tier running back, let's say, and he's a free agent, and he can go back here, or he can go work with McCoy in a system that produces multiple stars. Essentially, I think you'll see guys say, "I'm going to Philly. I'm going to go play in a fun place."
Yeah,
where the
I think that
cool
could happen if it works for any length of time. Now, that's not a really good team in terms of personnel. I mean, the defense played really well in the first half last night, but I think you saw in the second half they're not that good. They're totally pressure based. They send everybody, and if they don't get there, they're screwed. Although Kerry Williams, speaking of punks who, had an altercation with Aaron Dobson, he had an unbelievable game last night.
Tom writes in, he's in from Baltimore. He says, "I'm extremely frustrated. It seems like the big Patriots' biggest nemesis is not the Ravens, not the Jets, and Giants, but injuries.
Oh.
This team can never stay healthy. It's always a key player that gets hurt. Now, I know we have the next man up doctrine, but it doesn't work when it comes to winning championships. Is it drafting issue or a strength and conditioning concern? I don't believe in bad luck, so it has to be something else. I love the show, and I wish you guys were on 5 days a week." Tom says he's the biggest fan in Baltimore. It is bad luck.
How? I just don't understand the concept of not believing in bad luck. So absolutely everything, there's a specific cause to everything?
Now, you have a theory, Paul.
What?
All the injuries in the NFL.
Yeah, I do. I'm not alone on that. I think guys are too big and they can't handle the size of their bodies.
Why are they too big?
Steroids.
See, that's where Paul and I part ways, because I think they've been using steroids for about 35 years.
Yeah, I think they're doing a lot more stuff and more sophisticated stuff than they did 35 years ago.
That's the
There's
point.
A lot more 300-pound players in the league today than there were 35 years
and
ago.
And they all run
and
4, they were 3, doing steroids. 40s, I know.
And they
you
were doing steroids
players.
Then. And
But I think Paul's point that what they're ingesting is different than it was back then.
That's what I'm saying.
It's enhanced.
I'm not saying that steroid use is more prevalent today.
They're not taking Lyle Alzado's AIDS-ridden
HGH from
a totally agree. It's better. It makes you bigger.
It makes you bigger, but we don't know
bigger than those guys were.
We don't know if it's better because there hasn't been any study on the long-term effects of these things.
That's my biggest complaint.
How do we know that their brains aren't going to explode when they hit 50 or whatever? I mean, you don't know these things.
By no means am I taking credit for that theory. That's a theory that a lot of people have, and I certainly didn't create. I just one that I happen to agree with.
All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan's in Columbia, South Carolina.
Not exactly Europe.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's the chances, this is of my first course, it's not really Patriots related, but what's the chances of me getting Fred, you and Eric a beer when you guys come down to Charlotte for the game?
100%.
You can do that.
Y'all come down now. Will y'all come down Sunday for the Monday game?
Well, no, here's the deal.
Yes.
I think there's a fan club. I think they're called the Triangle Pats fan club. They're going to have something Saturday night. So most likely... that's where I'll be Saturday night. So
Sunday night.
Sunday night, the night before the game.
Yes. Sunday night.
So that'll be we'll all have a drink together.
Or an Eldridge's Camaro.
All right, I'll do it.
Well, Eldridge's
going to
drive me home.
Did Eldridge already call?
Oh, yeah, he's not happy.
Eldridge can't drink that night because he's driving.
I was driving home.
Let me tell you, if Eldridge is there, I will sleep there talking to that guy. But either way. My question, I've always been, my parents were born and raised up there, and I've always been, it's always been laughable to me, the whole woe is me, and I'm jumping off a bridge mentality of the fan base up there. And, I'm, to an extent, I'm part of that, but I really think nobody likes injuries. I hate losing. I don't like a crappy performance during a football game. But, my concern coming into this season was, is Brady going to turn away from the rookies too quickly because he has to keep throwing to the rookies? And that's, I was telling my wife that during the game on Sunday. I said, he has to keep throwing the ball to Sudfeld, for example, because, he bobbled it. It was a mistake, but he has to keep getting these guys incorporated in the game. So in a way, I kind of think it's a positive
that this Thursday is coming, and he's really going to have to rely on these guys, because isn't it better that we figure out now if they're capable? Because they're his only option at this point, so there's no, I guess, except for Edelman, there's really no dinkies out there for him to rely on, so he's going to have to pay attention to these guys. So it's really going to be throwing him into the fire, and I think that's the best way to learn. So what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think you might be onto something, because, you know, what better time than the present to get these guys the work that they need with him? You know, they did look pretty good during preseason as a group. Didn't have the best performance against Buffalo by and large. You know, it did come down finally to Edelman and Amendola, the veteran guys. But better to find out now what these guys can do than, you know, let them go through the whole season and then have to find that out when the games start to get more difficult and more important.
Yeah, I guess my thought is go ahead and get them incorporated into it now, and that way when Gronkowski comes back, they've already built some trust, so they're just an added piece to Gronk's return, and now I guess Amendola when he comes back. And then I'll leave you guys with this. I was really kind of excited to see Chandler Jones kind of rushing from the interior. So just to get your thoughts on that, and I appreciate it. Enjoy your show, and I'll research that group that you guys are catching up with on Sunday.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. I agree with Eric's point about, you know, it might actually be good for the receivers. You know, Tompkins specifically, like, he's going to have to get a bunch of balls thrown his way again Thursday if Amendola can't play, and, you know, there's no options. You know, I'm assuming Gronk is probably going to still be out again. I'm assuming Amendola is going to be out because I think he was in a lot of pain. And I'm assuming Vereen's out because that's what they reported. Jay Glazer reported yesterday.
Right.
So he's got to throw the ball to somebody. So it doesn't matter if he's any better. Like, he could catch 12 balls this week and not really have played any better, you know, depending on how many times it takes to get him the ball and how many times he's where Brady wants him to be and all that stuff. But chances are he's going to be a better player than he was last week.
At his current rate, what's that, about 52 passes have to be thrown?
Well, you know what I'm saying.
42.
But he might, let's say he catches 8 balls in the 14 targets, but he probably should have caught 12
like,
out of the 14.
That they're like Brandon Lloyd type
if
catches.
Yeah, and if he was where he was supposed to be, it would have been more like 12 out of the 14.
Mm. Telling you it's the number. Just get rid of the number.
And Dobson, let's not forget, Dobson didn't play last week. Hopefully he'll be ready to go by Thursday night with that hamstring. But the problem was not so much that
it is the number.
What?
Wasn't that her
name? 85 and 17?
85 and 17, yeah.
Chad Jackson. 85, obviously.
17, 85.
No, I know, but 85 was Hernandez.
Hernandez,
Johnson.
Lloyd.
Lloyd. Get rid of it. Hmm. Can you retire numbers for, like, negative reasons?
Tompkins was the same problem that Dobson was having during the preseason, was he couldn't get separation. Which was that was
that to me was striking about the receiving core as a whole. Amendola gets unbelievable props for toughness, but he wasn't open a lot. I was expecting him to spring wide
he
open.
Try to run
times
on no groin.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of the whole thing. He's not healthy. Edelman sprung open a couple of times. He had a huge play. I think it was the only big play they had in the passing game. Off the 15-yard line out to around midfield.
Yep.
He got wide open on that play, and he got wide open on the second touchdown. First one, he was covered like a blanket. Mm-hmm. Brady just made an unbelievable throw.
He threw it right through the guy.
Right over Kiko Alonso's hand and right in front of, I think it was Jim Leonard in the back line. I mean, that was a sick throw by Brady.
I mean, when you're splitting Kiko Alonso and Jim Leonard, you know you're doing something
listen,
right.
Listen, there's only that's why he's elite. That's why Brady's elite.
Let's go to Chester in Oregon. Hey, Chester.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? That Dan caller before me was absolutely spot on. You know, I wanted to piggyback. By the way, Jets suck. Wanted to piggyback on his comments about, you know, Pats Nation backing off a little bit. You know, I think we're being a little reactionary after 1 week, and I get the executional slip-ups. I mean, there were some areas where we really sucked. But, you know, the bigger thing here is much of the league was rusty yesterday. I mean, you know, just watching the recap of the day, there were a ton of blunders. You know, Lavonte David, you know, responsible for us sharing our division lead, you know, right now with the Jets. But, you know, the defense flashed. They look great at times. And Andre Carter would be a fantastic addition for us. I mean, I really, really hope that we can see him. I think culturally he fits. But, you know, to me,
if it wasn't for Ridley's stupid fumble and that touchdown return and that momentum shift, and along with Brady's goal line fluke, we would have had a two-score victory yesterday, you know? And I get it with Tompkins. You know, the guy played like an undrafted player, but there's nowhere to go but up here, you know? And I really want to make sure Nation takes it in stride, understands, you know, for one, Ridley is awfully lucky with all these injuries this week. And, you know, I think he's going to bounce back, and we're going to see him with 20-plus carries. I mean, I don't think we have a choice with those fresh legs, but, you know, look for that bounce back and play them rookies. Play them hard, and we need Dobson.
Yep.
We need Dobson to come back. But that's all I got. You guys take it easy. Over.
All right, Chester, I think that's the way to look at it. I really do.
That's not, just so you know, that's not the way Fred was looking at it Sunday night about 8 o'clock.
That's definitely the way to look at it. You got to play the rookies, play them hard. Just get them out there and expect them to perform.
Well, Dobson has to get out.
You know, one thing I do worry about Ridley, though, and I worried about this before, but now more than ever, is, you know, when he does get back out there, what is he thinking about?
His mindset, you mean?
Does he, you know.
The good thing is he's used to it.
Does he run a little more tentatively?
No, I'm being serious. He's come back from fumbles before.
And you
right?
think that makes it good because he's used to it.
Well, it's good that he's put it behind him before.
Yeah.
Not permanently, but for some period of time, he has experience in putting it behind him, right?
Well, I mean, he had a great year last year. He doesn't fumble every carry. You're correct.
He doesn't fumble close to every carry.
He doesn't fumble every
game. By the way, Adrian Peterson's another guy we need to put in
he
that
fumbles.
Mix. I know, but people thought it was going to end his career. They should trade him. You can't win with him. You can't.
And
I mean, remember that whole
coaches
stretch?
Coaches have decided, I'll take the $2,000 in exchange for that. Hey, thanks,
and the Vikings have proven they can't win with him.
Well, We have,
he's the problem.
We haven't touched on that yet, but
here's where Paul says Paul is smart. You know what time it is now?
I think you saw some merits to my theory in week one.
You also saw Robert Quinn. Quinning, three sacks, two forced fumbles. Could have been a Patriot.
Terry and DC.
Oh
wow.
Wait, we don't rush the quarterback. It's contained rush. We don't get after the quarterback.
You know, one of the was it Daniel in South Carolina was like excited to see Chandler Jones rushing from the inside. I would have been a little bit more excited to see him anywhere near EJ Manuel, with the exception of one play. He had one play that he flushed him out. It's the only time EJ Manuel even had any sweat the whole game. I was really disappointed in the pass rushing yet again.
No, it's contained rush.
Yet again, I fell for something I saw during the summer.
Contained rush, Paul. Don't worry about it. That's what Fred's selling me.
It's true. Terry in D.C., a lot of talk about after this one, but nice to have a win. Just a quick question. Are you worried about Ridley's mental toughness after he had been benched? The camera.
And he's not. He just thinks he's used to fumbling, so fine.
After he was benched, the camera cut to him later in the game, and he looked like he was going to cry. His fumbles are obviously a problem, but do you think his confidence is fragile? Does he have what it takes to be a consistent halfback? With
I just had a vision of him in one of those onesies Sunday night when he got home, like curled up on the couch.
Sucking
like,
his thumb.
Yes.
Don't put me back out there. Don't give me the ball.
Well, sorry, Steven, but you wear onesies.
I will give him credit for talking at
I will too.
To the media after the game.
Yep.
I will
he
too.
He declined today, but after the game, immediately after, when your emotions are the most
yep.
raw,
talked.
He
right.
talked and
his,
he talked.
His quotes were noticeable by their presence.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with what he said. It was just noticeable by their presence. One thing I'll say
as
on the
said,
other side of that, you know, being serious, I'm a little concerned about it mentally for a couple of reasons. One, he was really pleading his case that he was down, which was silly. The players know. The players know. He knew that was a fumble. And the second thing, I don't know if you guys caught this on TV. They showed him sort of like,
right.
you know,
on the shoulder.
Rubbing his
yeah.
shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, that's why you
right.
fumbled.
Right.
You know, it's like,
well, there
that,
is a
that's
chance.
That's why I'm not playing.
But there
you know?
Is a chance. He landed right on that arm and jammed it. He could have
Andy,
actually hurt his shoulder.
I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with his shoulder. I'm saying that wasn't the time to show everybody that there's something wrong
well,
with my
you
shoulder.
You don't know he was showing everybody. Maybe he was just loosening it up.
I'm with Paul.
Fred.
Yeah.
Do you understand
what
I'm saying?
He was Eugene Wilsoning it.
No, he
well,
wasn't.
Eugene Wilson didn't Eugene Wilson it, but he was definitely Eugene Wilsoning it on this play.
So how do you get dubbed something you weren't doing?
Right? Because he has dubbed that faking an injury after you do something
that's
wrong.
That's like saying a bad interception
Eugene
is known
Wilson,
as a Tom Brady. Wait, he doesn't throw bad interceptions.
Eugene Wilson underwent
injury.
Surgery
a
about a week
injury.
After that Super Bowl that Fred thinks that he
so
was faking
say.
An injury.
Whose pride or confidence is more of a
I
concern?
Don't think Stephen Ridley's undergoing surgery anytime soon.
Whose pride or
well,
confidence
he'll
is
get hurt Thursday night.
More of a concern? Ridley's or Kenbrell Tompkins?
Ridley's.
Who's what? Oh, how did you
pride, confidence, whatever you want to call it.
Oh yeah,
Ridley.
I'm not worried.
I'm more worried about Ridley. Yeah. Not Ridley. I'm not
been there, done
now,
this.
Now, if you're asking me what can I rely on more going forward, it would be Ridley. He's a better player. He's got
what
more
would you be more surprised to see? Ridley rushes for 100, or Tompkins has like a 7 of 8 receptions for 85 yards and a touchdown?
More surprised than Tompkins.
More surprised than Tompkins.
Yeah. I think Ridley could roll right out and hit the ground running.
So
and,
do I.
And he's been pushed now, in that direction by Vereen.
I think it'll be tough because I think the Jets do have a pretty good defense.
Yeah.
And I think, especially against the run, that's why the Vereen thing is big, because I really thought that was going to be a way that they could run on the Jets.
Open
now, maybe Eric's guy, the old man, Leon Washington, can step in and do that.
What did you call him?
Corpse.
Paul called him a corpse. By the way, the guy's only
You're making
been
fun of me
like,
for calling him an old man?
I think he called Wes Welker loose change, so that's probably a compliment.
Oh, I think corpse is even more like.
And is this his ninth year? I mean, he's not
but he's
like
an
a
old
15-year
But he's an old.
Eighth, I think.
See, it's
but
his
still,
eighth season.
He's an old 33.
He's
an old 33.
How's he old? He doesn't play offense. He returns like four kicks a game.
I just watched
He was
him.
Second in the league last year.
No, I know. Like, he's a corpse.
Cross Leon Washington off Paul's PFW interview list.
Oh, no, he's a fabulous.
He'll start it with that.
Did you ever have an interview with him?
Some have called you a corpse.
I'll take
Who's
him.
That? Well, me.
I'll
He'll turn around to Paul and say,
anything.
Look who's talking.
Right.
Well, I was killed two and a half years ago. Ever since my Achilles went, I can't even walk.
Yeah, but you're twice his age.
Not really.
Let's go to the Swedish toll-free number.
Whoa,
Joakim,
there you go.
Or Joakim, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Well, you know, Joakim Noah in Chicago Bulls.
You like us in the Chicago Bulls?
No, I'm saying you pronounced it pretty good. Joakim, you can say.
Joakim, Joakim Noah
in the Chicago Bulls, yeah.
Okay. It's a pretty common Swedish name, so.
Yeah. We'll just call you Joe.
Do that. Just a quick question. Jimmy Collins, I'm surprised I didn't see more of him. I mean, he played like two snaps or something.
Yeah, they were in nickel predominantly the whole game. The nickel was essentially their base defense against Buffalo. I think it was actually two plays where they were in base, quote-unquote, and Collins was in for those two plays. That was really basically the reason you didn't see him was because they wanted Hightower. It was mostly Hightower. Spikes subbed in a little bit, but Hightower and Mayo to be the linebackers.
Yeah, but Spikes was out the first half, so I mean,
Right, and it was they were in the nickel, and Hightower and Mayo were the two linebackers.
Spikes would have been out either way in the nickel in all likelihood. And you have to remember, I know we think on offense, oh, these guys are always going to. They have established guys on defense, even though he's the second round pick and your top pick. They have three starting linebackers that are back that were all high picks. They have, pass rushers that are well thought of. He's a luxury. He's a depth guy on defense, unlike the receivers who are going to have to play.
All right.
Yep. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Call again.
So
he
only played two plays in the game.
Well, that's not nice.
What?
Yeah. He only played two plays in the game, so he probably wouldn't have played at all on defense had Spikes not.
I don't know,
because
I thought I saw
dehydrated.
Him rushing.
I thought
at least one snap.
I thought like the first passing situation, like the second down of the game or something.
But as like a defensive tackle,
or maybe
inside.
It was a second possession.
Yeah, he only had two plays.
I know, and they were both early.
You know who got a lot more playing time? Than
Either
I
that
thought.
Or they missed
Joe Valano.
Joe Valano.
Well, that
a lot.
He's the second one. I was going to say Michael Buchanan.
Oh yeah,
he was out there early too.
They did that NASCAR type. Front where they
we
had.
We got to come up with something. I'm sick
Jones,
of saying, NASCAR title. Let's come up with our own.
Jones would bump into defensive tackle, and either Buchanan or Ninkovich would line up next to him at end, and then the other guy would line up on the other end. Wilfork was usually the tackle in those situations. That was a wrinkle that I don't think I've seen from them.
Buchanan
before.
I'm ready. I'm ready to see him. Whatever can get
Collins,
us closer to the passer.
I thought that Collins was at least one of those plays was with Buchanan. I was thinking it was one of those sub kind of deals, but maybe he wouldn't have been on the field at all if Spikes was out there.
Correct.
And then because they played nickel so much, I didn't realize that Collins had only played two snaps. I thought, I saw him a couple of times, and evidently those are the only times that he was on the field the whole game.
Michael in Doha, Qatar. writes in, or Qatar. As
I was
going to
say, isn't this a fight?
I like Qatar better.
I like
but
Qatar.
It is Qatar.
Yeah, well, I told you this. I had a very good friend in college who was from there, and he always pronounced it Qatar.
Okay, well.
And no one ever said Qatar back then. But this is, you know, 30 years ago. They may have changed the 20 years ago.
Listening on the new app for iPhone, and it works great. Good job. Fred, could you please stop calling the Bills and Jets games preseason? You're jinxing them. My takeaway from the game, Tompkins is not ready for prime time, was off on routes and didn't produce when needed. O-line let Brady get under pressure way too many times. Brady was off with a lot of throws. Pass rush created close to zero pressure. Tlaib with a blown coverage. Only positive was Amendola and Vereen. They look like the difference makers Big Head has been looking for. Both are now injured. Please talk me off the ledge.
Well, I'll push you off the ledge with this. Your two positives both got hurt, and they're both sort of injury-prone players.
Right.
So I don't even know if I can give you those positives.
Everybody who was injury-prone coming to the game left the game with an injury. Vereen, Amendola, Sudfeld.
It's too bad because he was about to become the next great tight end.
Yeah. Except when he fell down, broke his neck, and caused an interception all in one play.
And evidently somehow pulled a hammy on a play.
And there's no – and I don't know if you guys talked about this beforehand, but you would think – in a position like that, when they're, you know, injuries are starting to pile up, you wouldn't want to release the guy on your practice squad who's a wide receiver who had a little bit of success.
We released Quentin Sims?
Supposedly. He's the casualty for R.J. Francis.
A.J.
Francis.
It's R.J. Bell. No,
I did,
no,
there's
Dill.
Too many. Yeah.
I did see A.J. Francis in the locker room today.
So apparently,
I mean, how I made note of that, I have no idea.
with the flurry of transactions that happened last week, there's not, you know.
Maybe he's being promoted.
Well, potentially, but he's on the market right now, I think.
Unless we signed him.
But, I didn't,
but
see,
you didn't see it.
I didn't see a locker in his in
well,
the locker room.
Well, he's always on the
today.
Market. You just, now you don't have to sign him to your roster. Quentin Sims. He could have been signed any time.
By another
right.
team
to
or
roster,
by this team.
Right.
Right, yeah. But I didn't. My point is I didn't see his locker in the locker room today.
Or at practice.
Oh, and he didn't see him at practice.
So that would fly in the face of my theory that he got promoted to the active roster.
Well, he could
he
be. But that's the thing.
Well, no, he would have been at practice and have a locker. Leon Washington wasn't here and he had a locker.
Well, yeah, but Leon Washington also got cut last week and then was on the team in Buffalo the day before the game.
But he's a corpse.
Yeah, I don't know about the locker, but I think he would have been at practice if he was promoted. Eric would have seen him today.
Right, and he would have had a locker. How do you go to practice?
No, I'm saying,
where do you put your stuff when you
and he had a locker before he would have gotten cut, so.
I agree that he would have had a locker too, but I mean, the fact that you don't see him at practice, I mean, that
tells you he's not at practice.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not on the roster.
Well, he could be on the roster. Maybe he's hurt.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's what they did. They promoted a Jag off the practice squad who's hurt.
That just
in a short week.
That just surprised me a little bit. That of all the guys on the practice squad that they, you know, could have gotten rid of, they chose a guy at a position where it seems like, you know, you have
but
a lot of guys
also,
who are injured or injury prone.
He was also late to the practice squad. Like, we all assumed, he's on the practice squad. He might make the roster. Oh, he got two touchdowns from Tim Tebow. Nobody can catch from Tim Tebow. And he was like a late addition.
I give him props for being what I call the absolute most improved guy in camp. The first day at camp, he looked like he had never even seen a football. And then the last day, you know, he catches a couple of touchdowns. I mean, I don't think he was all that impressive in between.
From
but
Tim Tebow, nobody does that.
He got a lot better as camp gone on.
You
got to
add that part. Makes it harder.
Jordan writes in, he's from London.
Yes, it does. You ever seen the guy throw the ball? You never know where it's coming. When you're with Brady, you're looking in a window like here. He's like batting against Randy Johnson. It could go behind you, above you, below you, beneath you, anywhere.
If you had said to me they targeted him 10 times and he didn't catch any of them, I would not look at that as an indictment on Quentin Sims. I would look at that as an indictment on Tim Tebow.
Right.
But in terms of catching the ball, if it's catchable,
ridiculous.
You catch it.
Ridiculous.
Right?
Okay.
I hate when he has no interest in that tomfoolery.
I wasn't listening. Jordan in London, hey girls, and Fred, Andy, and Paul. Vereen put in a great performance on Sunday.
I had to listen like in my head for a minute to make sure I wasn't going to laugh at myself being called a girl.
Vereen put in a great performance on Sunday and was the lone player to match our expectations. His role has been compared to Danny Woodhead's over the last few years, and in my opinion, he has a much bigger upside. My question goes back to last year and whether or not you'd buy a Woodhead jersey. Would you buy a Vereen jersey or any of the other young players on the offense?
Ooh, that Vereen is a great question.
I would not.
I wouldn't either because he doesn't have the proven longevity.
That actually could keep him in town, though.
Who would you buy?
Because that could keep his price down.
Yeah, but if you don't want to wear a guy who plays four games a year and is on IR or something, that's stupid.
Well, if you're a grown man, you don't want to wear another grown man's jersey anyway. But if you're
going to
get
one
for
your
kid.
What if you're a grown girl?
No, but if you want to get one for your kid, you're saying.
You already own.
Woodhead looked pretty good last night with good. San Diego.
Did he?
Really? But I would.
Well, from what I saw, I only saw the first half.
I would absolutely concur with the theory. When we've been talking about this for a long time, there's far more upside with Vereen to me, yeah. And you saw it. Yeah. You saw it the other day.
Yeah, but if he sucks and
he's
hurt.
But he can't stay on the field.
So what jersey would you be buying? Because I'm assuming if you're buying a jersey, you already own like Will Fuller.
No
one
if you have about the ability, this, just get number if you 12. Don't have the dependability.
Yeah, just get Brady's.
Reliability is more important than ability.
What about dependability?
I don't know. Bill didn't say that. I believe he said reliability.
Reliability is the same as dependability.
What about Amendola?
Same.
Yeah, but I mean.
He will do well in jersey sales for other reasons.
Yeah. Yes, I know. What you mean. But just stick with Brady.
You know, I was just thinking, what can you call somebody
Mayo?
to make fun of them that isn't offensive to other people?
Depends on what you're calling them.
No, but like it just stemmed from that last email. Like, feminists get mad if you throw like a girl. That's like implying that girls can't throw and
right.
You can't. And obviously, homosexuals, you can't say what Wes Welker once
right.
said. And what do you say if you intentionally want to rip somebody? Like, if I want to say Eric is not good at something, he like a
sissy?
How about you just stink?
No, but he's saying he wants to put a label on it.
He wants
to call somebody something.
All the good labels are offensive.
They're not allowed to use any labels anymore.
Huh?
It's this world coming to.
Ones.
I'll call him a what
I'm
was
no
that?
Longer,
a rag toe? Toe rag?
Toe rag.
I'm no longer going to be referring to the Minnesota
I don't know, but
Minnesota
it seems like it could be
team.
Offensive.
I'm no longer referring to them as
because a toe and a rag reminds me of a head and a
get offended
offensive
right.
Why
and
would that
offensive?
Remind you that because
it's a piece of cloth on an extreme end of the body. So I know you can't say the head and the beach. You know what?
Yes.
Can you say the toe and the like? I feel like you may have offended a lot of people.
Oh yeah. For all we know, that's
right.
Like the worst thing ever.
Right. Like there's some Irish guy with a bomb on your car right now.
Dan writes in, has Fred considered working for
Mayor
Menino's office?
I don't know how we got that. I took 30 seconds off, and all of a sudden we're blowing stuff up.
Has Fred considered working for Mayor Menino's office by adding Harrington to Zudfeld and the others? Fred's building quite
Curdy.
The resume to be Menino's speechwriter. Well, it wasn't great, but
that's what we're going to find out someday is all these years. Fred used to be an aide in Menino's office.
I never told you guys
those
story,
were those meetings
I?
He had to go to all
whenever
the time.
I did it worked, he's out of office finally. Well, it wasn't great, but I'm not too worried about the game on Sunday. Division games are always tough. Buffalo always tends to start the season well. But the Patriots
so
always,
does Brady usually.
But the Patriots always get better as the season goes on, and they have to break in the new personnel. Patriots Nation, get off the ledge already. That said, there seemed to be a number of problematic snaps. What was the deal with that? I did notice there were a lot of low snaps.
A lot of low snaps
low.
From Turk.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, what are we going to do about that?
I don't like that.
Say it in a weird way.
I don't like that theory, as you, I'm sure you guys are surprised, but the whole, like, you know, nothing to worry about. We always start something.
Like, whoa. How
stuff,
do you not like that
none of,
theory?
None of that
he
stuff
he picks
is true.
A 12-win team because right. It always works out for Belichick and Brady, but they can't say Brady and Belichick's teams always get better.
No.
That's ridiculous.
No. That's not what I said. I said the whole thing about blowing off this game because the Patriots don't usually play close games with Buffalo.
No, but they've lost
the,
to Buffalo.
The Patriots
they've
have
lost
beaten
to Arizona.
Buffalo
they've
19
had
out of the last
games.
20, and the average margin of victory is like 23 points.
But they've had bad games early in the year, and they've always gotten better late in the year.
The Patriots do get better early in the year. That part of it I agree with. The Patriots usually get better as the season goes on, but they don't start the season generally as badly as they did the
right.
other day.
Right.
And you had the numbers on Brady. That's the first time Brady's right. Passer rating was that low since 2003 on opening day. He's generally poised to start a season much better than he was this week. And I don't think
receivers.
Brady and I don't think Brady was the problem this week, by the way. I thought some of the passes he completed were all on him. Just unbelievable throws.
Yeah.
And into tight windows and key spots. He didn't have a lot of easy ones the other day.
I think he was poised to win right away, but like you said, what was around him kept his rating down.
And that's
but
why
I
I'm worried.
If he wasn't as good as he you know, is they wouldn't have won,
and that, but it, that's part of
right.
You know what you know so simplistically surmised as Brady and Belichick, it all works out for. No, Brady is great.
You said,
and that's why it works out for him, like Fred just said.
Right.
That's why I have faith that they'll still win 12 games.
So
although
there,
I might be going down to 11.
Oh, you're trending. Paul is trending downward.
Well, listen, based on one game, I don't know how you can be trending up. Even Fred's not trending up.
Where are you trending, Fred?
I'm holding Pat.
16-0.
I'm holding Pat in my 10-11 range. Right? I'm still in my 10-11.
I mean, they didn't
Eric's
lose the game.
Eric's still at 7-9.
They and 7.
They didn't lose the game, so
nothing on Sunday.
But I'm a little bit more
move that.
You know, the games that we so-called thought were going to be difficult. You know, the Cincinnati's, the New Orleans.
They have become more difficult.
Well, I was thinking they would win a certain amount of those, and I might be making minus one out of those games now.
We'll see.
But Atlanta, that I thought was going to absolutely kill them, scored 17 points against a bad Saints team.
And defense. that gets to what.
So
that,
what do I think of Atlanta? And Cincinnati goes on the road. If Cincinnati's going to win the Super Bowl, they should have beat Chicago. I don't care you're in Chicago.
By the way,
beat Chicago.
Can't turn we don't have a game. Like we don't have a show on Thursday. So who won the picks?
Who do you think? We'll do the picks tomorrow.
The guy who kept the book, I'm guessing.
What do you mean I did?
It's always the guy who kept the book.
I dominate.
What do you mean you dominate?
I dominate.
I was the only one.
Dominates us like a meatball sauce.
Wait a minute. This is the one I love.
I was the only one that picked the Saints.
First of all, you weren't the only one to pick the Saints. But I love when he picks one game that he gets right. He goes, I was the only one that had that one. So that means he won.
Right. That wins the week.
I won.
That's the magic eight ball
game.
The
only one I got wrong was the Raiders. I thought that was my upset of the week, and they almost did, but they didn't.
Who'd you pick, the Jets or the Bucks? Okay. Just checking.
I picked the Bucks.
Did you take the points with Buffalo?
I don't know. I don't remember.
No one
the
picked
points.
The points.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
I think that might be different this week. So we'll do that tomorrow. We're not going to do a show on Thursday. We'll do that tomorrow.
They're favored 13.5 over the Jets?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, but it's in flux.
Yeah, it's going up.
It's what?
Well,
yeah, it started at 10.
Risen 3.5 points.
It's rising,
it's going to keep going up until the money stops coming in from New England.
Wow.
That is
correct.
They're trying to.
Yeah.
No one in the New York is willing to bet anything.
No one
they've
in
given
the New
up.
York.
So they're going to keep raising it until they start getting some New York money in.
Wow.
Right, Paul? Isn't that the way it works?
Yeah, I believe you're right. I don't know why you look at me for confirmation.
Well, you're from Everett. Dan writes in. Dan writes in, has Fred considered I just read that. He finishes up by, he says, if Gronk is close to 100%, do you think they should play him against Tampa to get some game experience before what should be a tough game against the Falcons, or should they keep him out as long as possible?
Neither, when he's 100%.
But even if he's 100%.
I'd play him.
And it's Tampa, and you know,
he's 100%, you said, right?
Yeah.
If he's 100%, I would play him.
Okay. Once he's 100%, you play him.
Yeah.
So neither of those scenarios. I don't keep him till he's 110, because there's no such thing.
Right.
And I don't bring him back at 92.
He's such a jerk.
Well, but those are the two scenarios the guy offered. Or do you go longer?
Let me ask you this, though. If this were January, and he were 92%, you would bring him back, yes?
I would consider it. Yeah, with the season on the line or whatever, yeah.
I would. If it was a playoff game or a game that you needed to win to make the playoffs, he'd be playing.
But if he was
close to
100%. Because are the Jags coming to town for wild card weekend?
I wouldn't play him last year against Miami at less than 100%.
Right, but what about
a game that was meaningless?
But what about
watch
Houston?
Watch him walk around with his arm dangling from his side.
What about Houston? Because
I would have played him in that game.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, I think
win, a winner go home game, if he's close to 100%. Now, if he's like 50-50 and I'm going to do damage to the kid. No, I'm not going to play him. But if he's 92% to use your thing,
that's why
I win or go home. He'd be playing.
Well, I wonder what his. I know it's difficult, almost impossible to put a percentage on it. But I wonder what his percentage was for Miami and Houston last year at the end of the year.
Yeah, they have us believe he was 100%.
Well, I know, but we all know that's not true.
That.
So I wonder what it really was.
The guy who was holding his arm behind his back so it wouldn't get hit.
Gronk certainly didn't believe.
Yeah.
But we've seen in a Super Bowl and in the last year that they're, when it matters, they're willing to put, he wouldn't have played in that Super Bowl if it had been a regular game.
No, but I'm just wondering if it were possible to put a percentage on it. I'm curious as to what that percentage was in those particular games.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, fair point.
Juve writes in, everybody just calm down. I have a complaint to file. Glad you're back to 3 days a week. Looking forward to it, except this week will only be two games, 2 weekdays, because
PPGS on Thursday.
Fred's breathing heavy.
As for the game, please, will everyone just calm down? Sure, our rookies could have played a little better, and even Tom Brady could have scored that fourth down, but it's only the first week. We are going to get better. I know it. Now to my complaint. Please get rid of that mark with a B, or should I say with an N, for negativity. I began to listen to the post-game show podcast, and after only 10 minutes, I had to shut it off. Blah, blah, blah. The season's over. on my bad list. Everybody sucks. I do enjoy the pregame show only because of Paul and Andy. I want to listen to someone who was like, well, like a homer. Please replace him with, well,
like Paul and Andy. There you go.
I think Eric would do a great job. Well, Eric's no homer.
No.
Negativity.
I would do a great job, but I'm no homer. That's
it's the bloody Prince of Darkness.
Yeah, he's the anti-homer. He closed the window on the whole era. Like,
Eric would read 4 years ago.
And he's still mad at me for upping a win total in the paper. He wanted 9-7.
Go ahead, Fred. I know we stepped on something there.
Yeah, I was going to say Eric would read passages from Homer.
Oh, that's what I thought they meant.
He's like...
He was so upset.
Well, Patriots are on an odyssey to win the Super Bowl.
I see what you did there.
Thanks for the hard work. From Smells Like Fresh Cut Grass, I said cut Florida. I don't know what that means, but okay.
So for like 10 minutes after you cut your grass, it smells okay, and then it goes back to smelling like ass?
Maybe.
From grass to ass? Not to mention your house could just fall into the ground at any point.
Clint in Virginia says, I've heard you guys say Chandler Jones could have a year two jump about 1,000 times.
Yeah, that's true.
I saw nothing that would suggest that
that's
Sunday.
True. That's
well,
also true.
Did you guys see anything that I missed that would suggest otherwise?
Fred, you handle this one.
It was a contained rush. he had a leash on him. You know, they weren't.
Why did they leash him?
Because they wanted to.
Because it was a contained rush.
The idea, the game plan was to keep E.G. Manuel in the pocket.
E.J.
Right.
Not
that,
G.
That was the game plan.
To keep him in the pocket.
To keep him in the pocket.
Because only run, he would have run past Harrington.
I'll take a shot.
Like he did the one time he did run out of the pocket.
I'll take a shot for Fred on this one. Maybe if Doug Marrone had decided it was an NFL game and not a Big East game, and they had dropped E.J. Manuel back to pass a couple of times, maybe Chandler Jones would have shown up a little bit. Is that, you know, I don't think he had a lot of opportunities. Well, is that plan, Fred?
Plus it was contained rush.
So
we're gonna have a contained rush this week too against Geno Smith.
I mean, let's face it.
I actually thought
he didn't throw
Jones,
the ball enough.
I actually thought Jones got some decent pressure.
Yeah.
There was one play they had pressure in the whole game, and that was the play that Manuel sort of spun out and went up to his left.
Yeah.
And ended up maybe running out of bounds or something for a short gain. But other than that, even the play that he scrambled for about 19 yards, he dropped back and looked around for a good 5 seconds, and then had a huge hole, and that's why he ran. It wasn't like he was flushed out of the pocket and had to escape.
Would you sign Andre Carter? We haven't really brushed
on
him. Is that just a due diligence, or is that a we should add some depth to the pass rush?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he looks like these days.
Got hurt again last year, correct?
Yeah.
Ended on IR last year, so that's a couple of years, major injuries, a little older. I'd still bring him in. I liked what the guy said. He fits culturally. Maybe give some pointers to Chandler Jones.
And he was good when he was here.
Right. And, you know, we don't need 17 of these Jag offensive linemen that we seem to keep rotating through that. You know, Joe Klein or whatever.
Silik writes in, question.
Who?
We all know Silik, S-I-L-I-K.
Silik?
Silik.
Silicone.
Silik. I think he's from France because his email ends with .fr. Is that France?
.fr, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's country emails now?
Oh, yeah. There have been for a while. Huh. .ca, Canada, .uk.
Right.
Do we have
.it?
.it
is Italy.
You knew that.
I did?
Yeah, you never started .ca on anything?
Probably didn't really.
You just thought it was caca.
Probably thought it was California.
Good thing. I thought you were going to say something else when you started.
Question.
That.
We all know that Jeff McDaniels is an aggressive coordinator, but will we all agree that the first 6 weeks will be 80% a run game offensive philosophy?
He's moving his head.
He is. He's doing the.
Now, of course, Vereen is sidelined for a while, but they still have a solid run game.
You rolled your arm very well there.
Secondly,
congratulations.
The Jets was one of the worst run defenses last year, ranked 31st in the first half of the season. So tell McDaniels to run the ball all day. We don't have the choice anyway. And that is from Salik.
Well, I'd ask first, who are we running the ball all day with? I mean, are we just turning it back to Ridley?
You actually understood what I said?
Yeah. No, I mean, is it Ridley? Are we saying we're going to run all day with Ridley? Is he back in the good graces? Or is it Blunt?
Question.
Or is it Bolden, as you said? Maybe he's healthy? And... yeah, I think the Jets are going to have a pretty good front. I'm a big Muhammad Wilkerson guy. I think he's going to be phenomenal. And they drafted Richardson. I was very high on. I think they're going to be tough to run against. And this offensive line, they need to get their act together.
Yeah, yeah. Scott writes in and says, "I've fallen and I can't get up. I want to see if you can spot a trend here. Amendola injury history, sore crotch." Dobson's nicked up. Vereen's broken. Bolden injured all summer. Blunt dealing with something. Edelman oft injured. Actually, his status is listed as between injuries. Gronk healing has Mass General frequent flyer miles. Sudfeld following Gronk's lead. Tompkins forgetful. Boyce injured in the spring, can't close his hands. Ridley brain damaged. This is the direct result of relying on value picks. I look at our offense and all I can say is start drinking milk. I feel like we should be called the Brittle Bastards of Boston. Is Grogan available?
Wow.
Wow.
I don't think Vereen or Ridley were value picks.
No.
I mean, a second-round pick on a running back is pretty high.
Actually, when they did it, you're wasting that high a pick on a running back?
And back-to-back running
back
backs?
Picks.
Right.
Yeah. And I was Vereen surprised by the pass catcher. I mean, he was not seen as a franchise back coming out. So to take that guy in the second round, that's high.
No, but I don't think that people looked at that in the same way that the emailer did. I sort of agree. I was a little surprised they took two running backs, but I liked both of those players, and I didn't look at those guys as reaches. I thought they were both solid players. Did you look at them as like way out of their league when like Daron
no,
Harmon?
No, he's saying value.
Yeah, I didn't look at him like that. I thought they were. I don't think
they were where they were supposed
picks.
To be.
I thought they
picked
where they were supposed to be picked.
Yeah.
I certainly don't think they were value picks. To me, a value pick is like
a first rounder who's in the third
because of a back injury.
Yeah,
or because of marijuana testing, or because of. Brandon Tate or Razai. I mean, these guys are first round talents who just happen to have injuries. Like you're seeking value in some obscure way. To me, you took a pass catching running back in the second round. You invested highly in that guy. You expect him to be a good player.
Yeah,
I don't think people looked at him as being a high first round pick. So you got him in the second.
No,
that would be value.
Not at all.
I thought they would pick. Where
I actually
was to get
remember
picked.
He was like I followed that year because Todman, the kid from Dartmouth, and like he and Vereen were kind of clumped up in this area and. He went second round, and Todman went.
Oh, speaking of Dartmouth,
sixth round.
So your guy from Georgia had a nice touchdown.
Touchdown,
catch.
Arthur Lynch. Yeah, I've moved on.
You don't like him,
Todman? No. I've moved on from Todman to Lynch. He's now the guy I'll say is from.
Is
Dartmouth.
He a senior?
Yes.
John in South second Carolina pick, says to those who have not to those who say not having our starting receivers is a good thing, are you out of your freaking minds? Here is the problem with not having any starting wide receivers: Brady might get killed. Our line didn't protect well. Our current tight end did not block well. If Brady cannot get rid of the ball fast, or if our receivers cannot get open, what keeps Brady from getting blasted? The important thing here is keeping Brady upright and screw the Jets.
Who said it was good to not have starting receivers?
I think characterizing it as people saying it's a good thing is a stretch. Well, we said that maybe this will be good for Brady to have to get these guys up to speed. But if you think
we said that in the context of bringing people in.
No, but if you think that they don't have starting receivers, they're only missing one guy. Amendola's hurt.
Right.
So then you think the season's lost, they don't have any starting receivers because they only have one starting receiver.
Wishbone.
I'm sorry, but somebody out of Dobson, Tompkins, Boyce, somebody's going to have to emerge as a starting receiver. Someone's going to have to play well. If they don't, it's going to be a long year offensively.
Difference between a guy who starts and a starter, Paul.
Exactly. Exactly.
Jose writes in.
Tompkins started last week. He's not a starter.
He was not a starter by any means.
Jose in Maryland writes in. I'm pretty sure Tompkins wasn't double covered all game. Pretty disappointing.
Tompkins? Tompkins wasn't double covered a single snap.
Mm-mm. Pretty disappointed.
Unless you consider him covering himself.
Tommy didn't take
any. Leotis McKelvin said, quick, you lose.
Tommy didn't take any shots downfield. Brady still has the same mindset of only attacking the middle. Those back shoulder throws to Kenbro won't work. Both need more time to work together on their timing. Hopefully, defense steps up with pressure. Buffalo's O-line look like Pro Bowlers, but Alfonso and Tlaib look great. Quickly, how long will Vereen be out?
Tlaib looked great.
Great.
Yep, that's what he says.
Did you think they look great?
And then all of a sudden is.
I think when they threw, they generally had a guy open. They just didn't throw. That's Doug Marone's fault.
What a Marone.
As John Rooks,
and he didn't take shots downfield.
A veteran of Big East play,
he didn't have guys open downfield.
Right.
If he had a guy, if Thompson hadn't gotten, 3 yards on the cornerback, maybe Brady would have tried to hit him downfield, but he couldn't do that. So he was trying to go for the backside shoulder thing because that's the only thing he thought he could get from him.
You know what I wonder too is if they had a couple of those goes against Detroit in the third preseason game that Tompkins got open
and
for.
And he did.
And maybe what they try to do this week is say, okay, we put that out there on tape. we're going to hit them with some back shoulder stuff. It's going to be
right
there against Buffalo. When they tried it four or five times,
and it didn't work.
You know, most of the time it wasn't there. It just wasn't available. He couldn't get free of McKelvin, who, by the way, stinks.
You'll get your deep balls this week. Boyce is going to blow by D. Milliner.
That could happen.
I thought D. Milliner got beat at times at Alabama and then recovered. Boyce is just going to blow by him.
Yeah. No, he's not going to be able to recover on a guy like Boyce.
Adam writes it, just to
underline,
just to underline, toe rag isn't any kind of racist slur used by the Irish. It's just an offensive term. Feel free to take it as your own, Andy.
It's just offensive.
Just offensive to everyone.
To compare somebody to a stinky, infected, dirty dressing that would be wrapped around a wound to someone's toe.
Okay.
Oh.
Eric, you're a toe rag, and I can say that.
Probably comes from World War II. Everything in England comes from World War II.
He's in Ireland.
Well, you know.
I like when everything is big and dramatic.
He does need cameras. You know, we've kind of poo-pooed the idea of cameras, but
Fred needs cameras.
Speaking of cameras, why is all this lighting still here?
When can we get this stuff out?
I don't know.
Fred?
Ask someone. Why don't you ask your boss? Your boss put it here.
I'm too
afraid.
This really does bother you. What's bothering you about these lights?
Because it just takes up space and it just makes it awkward for these guys.
Eric, every once in a while, cuts a hand.
I do. I've cut my hand a few times.
People hit their heads on that.
Every once in a while, Eric decides to get animated too when he slams his hands on it.
All right, John Rooks here. Hey, John.
I'm still trying to get used to your French accent, Fred.
Oh.
Très bien.
Très bien.
Pepe Le Cache.
Yeah.
Big day for John Rook here.
What is it? Okay. A lot of nits to pick today,
oh,
John.
Oh, wow. Endless nits in this picking.
Yeah.
There will be endless nits to pick, without a doubt.
Okay. Field day today for John
Rook.
But
there are some positives, I hope.
We have a game on Thursday.
We play Thursday.
We have a game on Thursday.
We don't have to wait till Sunday to play again.
Well,
the biggest one, they won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that is good.
Yeah. It's the only one.
But I know... Are you sticking around for the?
Yeah, I'll be here for the first
hour. Okay, you'll be around? All right, because I want to say that, you know, I think we're due an apology for people hammering us for being negative Nancys last week.
And on the pregame social, these guys asked me, well, how I thought the game was going to unfold. I said, lower scoring than people expect and a lot closer than people expect.
So we didn't hammer you on that.
No, I'm not saying you hammered me. I'm just saying.
I disagreed with you, but I didn't hammer you on it.
Yeah, no, but I'm sure there were listeners who were like, oh, negative guys all the time. And,
yep.
And we were proved right.
Yeah, yep. Eric, you weren't negative last week. I mean,
and all this negativity that's in this town sucks. Well,
thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
By the way, he made the Hall of Fame this week.
Finally right, yeah.
Yeah.
I like how we threw in some anecdotes about how he would call Red and talk to him. Is this to try to make everybody think that you didn't just kick him out of his office?
Right. You were in an a-hole.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our show.
Little Ricky.
The Patriots Playbook with John Rook is up next from 2 to 4. And then Fantasy Football Champs, all you people who lost your first game in fantasy, now's the time to get the advice so you can win next week. As for us, we'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.